Please come to order. You please sit down. I can get the board secretary here. Be a nice way to start. People in the back, huh?
Yes.
Absolutely. It's right by the gate. The members who are back there can get on over. Good morning.
Can we adjourn?
It's of course, adjourn in there.
Paul, we're trying to get somebody.
Start without a quorum, if I could have public comment. Yes, we'll start with the chair's report.
Mr. Chair.
And the CEO's report.
I'd like to just report to you on a transit visitor that we have who takes vacations from Northern California in Los Angeles and who rides MTA buses and trains to many tourist destinations such as the Art Museum, Santa Monica Pier, the Tar Pits, and so forth. He was featured in the L.A. Times article last summer, so we invited him to come by and make a brief comment to the board. I know that he was here yesterday. His name is Al Vogel, Mr. Al Vogel of up in the Northern California area. Mr. Vogel, could you please come forward and make a brief comment to the board about your experiences on MTA Transit?
Sean, to hear about the loss here.
I would like to do that. Let me first thank Nita Lelyveld, who's sitting over here from the LA Times. I contacted her before our trip, and she expressed interest in writing an article, and, well, here we are. Let me just say that my experiences and my whole family, my wife, my son, his wife, and three children, our trip around the city for 3 days using nothing but public transit was entirely favorable, an educational experience. It was just a wonderful experience. We met great people on the buses. Everything was positive. I have to emphasize that. When I talked to Helen Ortiz-Gilstrap on the phone, she asked me to perhaps make some suggestions. And so I thought of a lot of things. I even went to a graduate seminar in urban planning at Chico State University, close to where I live, and brought up this subject to one of the graduate seminars and had a whole bunch of ideas. And lo and behold, as I wrote down these ideas and looked over your website, many of the things that we had talked about, you're already doing. So my suggestion list got a lot smaller. Yesterday I had my first experience using a tap card. That worked really well in spite of I've heard of problems from various users, but for me, the experience was entirely positive. But I do have some other suggestions, and I'll make this really brief. For those of us from out of town who can use the website, whichever is an ever-increasing number, I suppose, it would be really nice to have a visitor section on your homepage, you know, a special designated section for visitor where you could sort of consolidate all the information on fares, route planning, and the whatever other issues might be of interest to a visitor. And another suggestion would be perhaps a three-day visitor pass. You have the one, you have the seven, but a three-day would be very, very useful because that's the time of a typical visit. Something that came up at the seminar at Chico State was the possibility of having some links to video clips that might show a visitor, say, how to get from LAX to downtown, how to get from downtown to the Huntington, how to get from downtown to East Los Angeles or Little Tokyo or Watts Towers or any number of different destinations. This probably would be very useful, some actual film footage and some graphics and so forth. This would really help. Lastly, let me say that one of the reasons I wanted to make this trip last summer, my wife and I have done all this sort of thing many times before, but it was all new for the kids. And we wanted the kids to have to experience the richness and the diversity and the complexity of the whole urban fabric of a really big city, a really great city. And, you know, transit is an agent of social cohesion. I think everybody here in one way or another understands that. And our kids really had a tremendous educational experience. It was more than just going to Disneyland while at Los Angeles. It was a rich, rich experience. And there are problems, obviously, environmental problems, social problems, but all of that you learn about when you travel around the city, the real city. And that's the kind of experience we had last summer, and I thank you again for all of that.
Thank you very much. We'd like to thank you, Mr. Vogel, for riding our buses and trains. We appreciate the report. Now we'd like to give you something the mayor or the chairman would like to give you at one of our bus stops.
I believe a quorum is present. Would you please call the roll?
We haven't finished number four. I put in a slip for it.
I didn't. You could speak. No one's. John Walsh, how about that?
Well, let's get
quorum first.
Let's get the quorum. Present.
Here.
Here.
He's here. Present.
Jerrion.
Here.
You here?
Thank you, Mr. Clerk.
Yes.
Jerrion.
Welcome.
You know, I can't believe it. You wasted about $750 of our money for a bus sign that you gave to a white tourist. In fact, he is the first. I've been using the subway since it started. He's the first white tourist to ever use the subway. Okay, let's face it. Buses are 90% poor minorities, and the trains are only 80% poor minorities. So you had their little thing for Nita Lulleyville because he's related to her. Nita Lulleyville is a very big
editor
Times that does all these wonderful stories about how great the mayor is. And so this whole thing, you wasted our time. The meeting is starting 15 minutes late. And you can, you know what you can do with your extra 16 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Mr. Sachs.
The coffee.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Ronald Sachs. Another presentation. My concerns, and I didn't get to speak about this at the County Board of Supervisors, Mr. Mayor. But while you're presenting signs to people that take the buses that are still operating, but not for long in the not too distant future, could you also investigate the donut coffee allocation that MTA has? I was here on Tuesday morning, and there was a meeting for the transit users and they're serving coffee and donuts. So please tell me why you're going to cut services, you're going to raise fees. It takes so long. I've been to some city meetings, and I've been to some county meetings where they're eliminating perks like that. Why the hell Metro, and everybody sits on a city council meeting or a city government meeting, why the hell Metro is so slow on the upkeep regarding benefits like that for meetings? Where are our donuts today, by the way?
Thank you. Everyone, please rise, face the flag, place your right hand over your heart, and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Katz, seconded by Mr. Fasana. Without objection, motion to read the order. Chair's report, item number three. Sorry, I had number four that was up here. So, we'll stand on the news.
Rodriguez, apologize.
Yes. Good morning. My name is Jose Rodriguez. Good morning, everybody on the board meeting. I just want to add a comment about item four that I just hear about LAX, you know, for turns, you know, turns above and everything. That's a good idea, but first add the buses from LAX to downtown LA and downtown LA to LAX. You have the LADOT commuter express for 30A. The only runs less than three hours a day. That's not really helpful. We need services that run all day. So instead of just thinking about just information for visitors to L.A., also they need the service. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
Item number three. Any more public comment?
No. Mr. Sachs? But that will be after I make my presentation, and then you know that safety on our transit system is and must be a core responsibility. And the August board meeting, I requested a sheriff's department to conduct a thorough review of the MTA's existing safety programs. In that letter, I reiterated the need to identify key areas for improvement, and I'll be honest, I was not satisfied with the first report that the department provided. However, in their second report, they addressed a number of improvements and provided recommendations that I think are in the right direction. As of today, the Sheriff's Department has incorporated several strategies to provide a safer transit experience for our patrons. For example, the matrix-based dynamic deployment adjusts the staffing levels based upon current threats, crime conditions, and trends at predetermined locations and times. This matrix has led to several improvements, which includes enhanced visibility, greater accountability, and improves our response time. Furthermore, the department has also incorporated the intelligence-led policing program as a way to address emerging crime trends. This change will provide a mechanism for addressing personnel deployment based on real-time assessment of crime conditions and terrorist threat potentials. And so I think we need to continue to monitor safety on our system. In my August motion on the MTA bus improvement plan, I asked the CEO to look into the MTA's current bus operation, identify ways to provide a robust, customer-oriented bus service that would afford our patrons with more efficient bus service. We've also made some progress on this. In addition to monitoring the passenger loans and on-time performance, we've identified an internal compliance system to report on all existing bus services. John Hilmer has been tasked to monitor the cleanliness, wait times, walking distance, and finally conduct a thorough customer survey on patrons' experience on our bus system. It was good to hear the opinion of one bus rider, but I think we want to get a broader survey of our patrons' experience, and I look forward to the update on that. Now, since the TAP program was initiated in 1999, the MTA has invested over $150 million to implement. One significant step towards fully operating this program is by locking our barrier gating system. We spent over $46 million so far just on installing these gates. It's taken 3 years to conduct a demonstration program to lock several gates. And although we all understand there are technical difficulties with fully implementing this program, we can't allow the hard work and the sizable investment and resources to be wasted away. So I urge the full board to commit in implementing the MTA's TAP program. Today's motions by Directors Jaroslawski, O'Connor, Du Bois, and myself underscore a commitment to this program. This motion seeks to continue MTA's demonstration project to include additional stations at 7th and Metro and North Hollywood. I'd also like to highlight an item on today's board agenda, the transit-oriented development grant. As you know, the traditional TODs is a mixed-use residential or commercial development designed to maximize access to public transportation. Depending on each community's regulatory policy, TODs can provide a strong community connection, health benefits, and additional mobility options. I hope that this grant will provide the needed resources for 10 different cities to start thinking and developing a framework to build the best transit-oriented developments for their respective communities. There really is an opportunity, and we've said this from the beginning with Measure R, and that is that, you know, in the past, and I have been off and on a part of the past of this organization since 1991, we'd build something, and 10 years later, we'd start developing around it. Now we have an opportunity to plan transit-oriented development as we build and really remake our neighborhoods and make them smarter and grow better. And this gives us an important opportunity to do that. Lastly, I want to mention a press conference with the Deputy FTA Administrator scheduled for tomorrow. This event will underscore MTA's key partnership with our federal agency. We'll announce $35 million to the MTA to purchase CNG buses and build Silver Line bus station that will serve express lane projects. In addition, we will acknowledge the Deputy Administrator for the last two grants in the amount of $47 million that we've received to help us build one of our bus divisions. So these federal grants are important, and for the probably the first time that I can remember, and I know some of you, particularly Mr. Fasana and Mr. Kanabi, have been here a long time, this is the first time I think that we can truly say we're getting a larger portion of our fair share than we have in a very, very long time. So good news there. Arnold Sachs.
Thank you. Good morning, Arnold Sachs. So this is not a personal attack, Mr. Mayor. This is just...
No personal attack. Take it.
In conducting safety, have they looked into at-grade crossings? You mentioned the TAP card and the fact that when they raised the allocation to $171 million for the program, they also mentioned the fact that some of the stations aren't gate-friendly, that they will not be able to use gates at them. So you're going to have locked gates at other stations, but you're going to have no gates at some stations, which will allow people to use paper passes. How will that be implemented into your TAP program? You mentioned building something and 10 years later coming back and doing the development. Like, you mean like the downtown connector, which was built, and then 20 years later you're going to fill in the gap after you built the red, or the green line, where 25 years later they're going to, because they didn't have a construction authority, they're going to build the Crenshaw line south. And you mentioned the Silver Line bus station. Just as an example, very quickly, AEG has promised to expand the PICO bus station for the new stadium, but they're not doing anything about the trains.
You. Thank you, Ms. Sachs. And no personal taken. Item number 56.
Good morning. Conan Chung, DEO of Service Development, along with Matt Raymond, Chief Communications Officer. In August, the board passed a motion on customer-oriented integrated bus service enhancements and innovation. This motion included six different elements that are individually managed by various departments within the Metro. This report summarizes the current status of each element listed in the motion. I wasn't going to go into detail on every single element, but in terms of maintaining bus revenue service hours on all Tier 1 and MTA rapid bus lines for FY12, we are not proposing any service reductions for December 2011. As far as regularly monitoring passenger loads and on-time performance, this is an important element of what we do on a daily basis. We do that. We correct any abnormalities in terms of the services as we see them, and then during the service changes, we provide more permanent solutions. With regard to the TAP program, I'd like to turn that over to Matt Raymond to comment on.
Yeah, the motion primarily requested an update of where we are with the different various municipal operators, and so what's being passed around and what's on the screen is basically an overview of where we all are with all of the municipal operator partners currently involved in TAP, and it's basically in three separate areas. Excuse me. There's the fully operational, which is the top area, which includes Antelope Valley, Culver City, Foothill, Metro, Montebello, Norwalk, Santa Clarita, and also we're rolling out ASI, which actually now has a combo TAP card that works on our system as well as on taxi cabs. And that includes over 3,276 vehicles. The next category down are people who are agencies that are in various stages of implementation. Gardena is scheduled to fully implement TAP in December of this year, and we're working with LADOT to have it done by the end of 2012 or early 2013. Long Beach, they had a contract in. They modified their fare boxes around the system, so currently there are no plans for Long Beach, Santa Monica, or Torrance to. There's not a time frame set for them to fully implement TAP. Torrance is currently operating with the fare boxes, but they're only operating in a cash mode. And Metrolink, we're working with them to come up with some solution, especially in light of looking at locking the gates and moving forward with that. The last category basically includes Arcadia Beach Cities, Claremont, and Commerce. Some of these currently we don't have plans with them, but we can reach out to them and see if they want to be included in the program. And some other agencies like Claremont and Commerce, they either are a dial ride system or they don't actually have it's free fares, so the applications there could be pretty limited. But this basically is just an update on where we are with all the municipal operators. Also, these numbers do not include rail, and this just kind of gives you a overview of the impact in terms of total vehicles in the system. We basically have, and this is not rail because there's over 280 rail cars on our system, and I'm not sure what the number is working with Metrolink, but 3,276 on tap, 409 in process, and there's we have 523 vehicles that are currently unconverted, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
The boys?
My mic is on, but I...
You got to get closer, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Is that better? A couple things. Are we going to have MOUs with all of the munis, and have we started that process? Is it completed? How's that working?
Well, what you're referring to is our clearing and settling, and we've been clearing and settling. We've actually been tracking it for nearly 3 years, and we actually officially did it at the beginning of this year. And in terms of the MOUs, our finance group doesn't need an MOU to issue municipal operators their own funds, but some municipal operators are requesting MOUs, so they've drafted a sample MOU, and I'm not sure if anyone signed it yet, but so we're open to that, but that's up to the individual municipal operators.
And is the clearing process in place? I mean, I presume there's some kind of an audit that's done, and that we don't just get a phone call and say, send me $1 million, and we send them the check.
No, actually, that's one thing I would say is the clearing and settling is we clear over $9 million monthly, and not only with the municipal operators, but also with over 600 retailers. And we've never had disputes in terms of the actual exchange or the tracking or anything else. The numbers are very detailed and very specific, and it's more the I think where we've had issues is trying to resolve the pilot project and exactly which date we start, and that's with the municipal operators. But in terms of the actual reconciliation of the financials, there's been no complaints or no issues with that whatsoever.
So you would say that the operators are, at this point, can you say that they're satisfied with the system? Because I know some of them put the system in and then didn't have any way to get paid, so they backed out of the program. They may be back in now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the comfort levels vary, you know, depending on the agency. But from a technical standpoint, there hasn't been any disputes in terms of the actual reconciliation. In terms of agencies getting in and out, like I said, Torrance is operating on a cash basis right now. We're still tracking everything, but so far, I mean, all the agencies—the one I showed you in the previous slide—you know, we're clearing and settling with them, and with no issue at all.
Question, Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
Matt, go back to the other, the bar, there you go. Are these the results from the four stations? No. What am I looking at here?
No. This is,
I'm sorry, these are our.
These are total vehicles. In other words, this is all the municipal operators, but they have various fleet sizes. So to give the board the idea of the magnitude of how much TAP is out there, this shows the total vehicles in the system, excluding rail and excluding access vehicles.
What do we have the results of the experiment at the four stations?
We are in the process of preparing a board box that provides all the results, and then also the plan for the next phase of testing. And we actually tested a station yesterday in Peak, Normandy. Because right now we basically have a snapshot in the off-peak, and so we will provide all that data in a board box as we go forward.
All right, but there's a motion before us to move this forward, and we don't have the results from the testing. I don't quite get the sequencing here. I mean, I'm happy to move it forward if I can see the results that say there's a reason to move it forward, obviously. I mean, we're going to move it forward because, as the mayor said, 12 people, 11 people thought it was a great idea to do, so we're going to do it. But I'd like to see the data. I don't know. I just thought it would be sort of nice to have the information before we keep moving forward.
And I think that's another motion that we've got here, so maybe they'll have time to scurry out and get that information by the time the motion comes up.
Somehow I doubt it. I got the impression of what Matt was saying. That board box was weeks away or days away.
No.
Not minutes away, I didn't think. I'm sorry, Matt.
Oh, right. We just want to make sure we get fully objective data.
No, I appreciate that. And I understood, you know, when you and I changed some emails a week ago, why you guys wanted to hold it off. But I'm just seems like we should know that before we go ahead with this. That's all. It's just.
At this point, this is just a receiving file. This is just a report. There's not action other than that here.
All right.
And we'll get the other shortly.
Yeah, and also in the motion you're referring to, it says within 2 weeks, which we will comply with, obviously.
Any other questions or comments? Can I get through with the directors first, please?
When are we, I think these are all steps as we're painstakingly trying to achieve our goal for 1999. I'm trying to figure out when do we have the discussions, though, on the policy issues that are going to need to be made amongst this board and the munis. I mean, at some point, rules will need to be established in terms of how to really try and create the seamless fare structure that we have, respecting the muni's wishes to set fares within their area, but also providing a seamless experience throughout the county. When are we going to be at the point where we can start having those discussions with the muni's as the board implements a policy? Okay, so that's 2023?
Okay, so
I mean, that's kind of where I'm trying to get to, is when do we resolve those issues?
And I can't resolve those issues today, but I can certainly hear you, as I'm sure that the rest of the folks can, and we need to move forward to do that. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
That's what I'm trying to hear from our staff. When do they think we're going to be ready to have those discussions with the munis and ultimately make a decision after getting all that input on what the rules will be?
Right. Our approach in working with municipal operators is basically an incremental approach and giving them the ability to come on as they felt comfortable. We do not have, you know, direct control over their individual, you know, their participation. It is voluntary. But what we've tried to do is work out all the technical kinks, and so we feel very comfortable we've advanced to that point. Obviously, there's still the transition of some of the operators like LADOT actually getting the equipment. But we're basically down to where, to your point, is it's a policy decision. I mean, and I think that's where we're heading in terms of a time frame. You know, I think as we move forward, some of that will you know, become clearer.
So, if I might, Madam Chair, I agree with Matt. I think there's been questions from the munis, mechanical questions of whether they're confident in the county and so forth. So our goal has been to remedy those issues, go forward as we can with those who are enthusiastic about it, and then over time get to the discussion that you want to have. I should also note you've in the past asked about an evaluation of distance-based fares and other such things. That's also on our horizon. We'll come back to you, I hope, in the coming year with a discussion on that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Does that satisfy you?
For now. I mean, waiting for the report.
Attorney Jurian.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I think we need to just reiterate to the public that all of us on the board want this program to succeed. We've invested a lot of money and a lot of human capital in trying to make a seamless transportation system for the entire county and even beyond as we look to some of our MetroLink partners, et cetera. And I think the mayor's motion originally 5-6 months ago was very well received and very timely. And what's happening is we're getting a lot of great ideas from staff and from the deputy staff as well. I have a motion that I'd like to make, and it's really a corollary, perhaps even an amendment to the motion that's on the table. And it involves what's going on in the Bay Area and how they're solving some of the problems that we are experiencing or may be experiencing.
Madam Chair, if I could just procedurally. R.S. said he had a motion.
56.1 he's
okay,
referring
but
to.
But he proposed it as an amendment. There's not a motion on the table. It's just a receiving file, so it's a straight-up
motion. So it'll be a straight-up. Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to get.
This will be, yes, for those keeping score, it's 56, will be 56.1.
This is four, I know.
Yes. So this is a motion, and there are some directives in here. But the Bay Area has apparently solved the problem of the reading and the reimbursement of the tap cards by the riders through using validators on all their transit, the BART, the SF Muni, the Caltrains, AV Transit, San Jose Transit, et cetera, without the need to replace the fare boxes. A validator can be read by both the driver and the passenger, and the validity can be determined instantly, and the regional partners are insured payment based on the accurate data. And this was done in a very short period of time in the Bay Area. I move, therefore, that MTA staff report back to us at the November Operations Committee with a report on the success of this Bay Area program, including the equipment currently in use and the feasibility of rolling out this program incrementally in Los Angeles County. And I move that MTA staff provide monthly updates beginning next month using the attached matrix on the signature process of the draft reimbursement MOU and any new additions of municipal operators accepting TAP.
All right. Ed, let me clarify. Does this replace the motion that we had in here? Is it an addendum to, or is it entirely different?
This carries it a little further. Essentially, what we're doing is providing a little more management and suggestions, and I think it's important that everyone know that the board is involved in this, that we haven't just set this aside, that we're looking at every opportunity and option to make this a successful program. And this perhaps may be a solution. It may not be a solution, but let's look at it and see if it's feasible. We can at least consider this as it bubbles up through the committee.
Yeah. Do I have a second for the motion?
Madam Chair.
Second.
And if I could...
Has a comment?
I'd like to just request that maybe we put a January time frame on this. The November board reports are due in a couple of days. If we have January, that gives us a little while to do the work.
Do you have other things to do between now?
Now in a couple of days?
I will, in an effort to be reasonable, the reasonable and a courteous director, I'll be happy to extend that time frame that you're requesting, Mr. Lee.
Right.
If my seconder would also.
Madam Chair, may I ask the CEO, what is the reason for wanting to delay it until January instead of the time frame that's in the motion?
Well, the November board reports are due in a couple of days.
Can you speak a little louder?
November board reports are due in a couple of days. So
we're not having a December meeting?
No.
As I recall, our November meeting is held the first week in December or something, and so that would go...
I'm okay with that, Mr. Lee. Let's just, let's look into it. It's not a dictate, but let's really explore every possibility. And if it's a good option for us, let's pursue it.
And if I could clarify, the validators are actually what LADOT is going to be installing. The Clipper system is basically the same as the TAP system. It's just named differently. It's the same basic technology. And so for LADOT, we are using those validators, and those are the other options for other agencies, too.
Bring that to us and explain it to us in detail, and we'll be happy to accept your knowledge.
Okay.
So we have a motion before us, and I think the agreement was that would be report back to the January Operations Committee?
January Operations.
I have some comments from the public. Malcolm Klugman, to be followed by Arnold Sachs.
This report was commissioned by a person who is, I guess, off solving Middle East peace somewhere and is not presiding over the thing that he requested. That's terrific. The TAP card. There needs to be, I see too many times, people, the train is going, has stopped. These people are buying the tickets, and they miss the train that they're trying to catch. There needs to be a trip-oriented TAP card.
One that for $15, you get 10 rides.
And it registers that. And that way, people can just get on. And the other thing is, whatever happened to the token? You just destroyed the thing about the token. People can run in, throw the token in, get a ticket for the subway, and get on. And that's something that you try to do.
Or you can sell 20 rides for $30.
Or you can have a discount and get more people to use it.
Thank you. Arnold Sachs. To be followed by Jose Rodriguez.
Good morning again, Arnold Sachs. Thank you, Marian, for asking some appropriate questions regarding the Bay Area program. You failed to mention, though, when the Bay Area program started, A, with its TAP card, and B, with its validation program, because they also use a paper ticket that they can... Didn't Metro get on board with a paper ticket? Because BART was using that with all these programs. Don't know. But we're $171 million into the hole, and we still haven't finished this TAP card program. So let me also ease some of your concerns about regarding whether the public knows the board is involved. The program sucks. The board is involved. The public knows.
Thank you. Mr. Rodriguez, be followed by Joanna Gaspar.
My name is Jose Rodriguez, and I'm a student of Cal State LA. That's why I'm concerned. From the TAP card, There's always in the application, even the application said it's all only 20 days to process.
I processed mine September 7th, and by today I haven't
get it on the mail. So it's taking forever. They tell me there's a delay because something going on of 6 to 8 weeks. Well, I can understand this, but how much MTA wasting on this stop car? We have to change this stop car every 6 months for students. Seniors and disabled, they change it every 5 years. So we have to spend a dollar every time we get a new one. We're spending money out of our pocket. MTA wasting a lot of money on this that it can be used for public transportation. This doesn't make sense to be changing the top car every 6 months. We don't get that all in 6 months. Come on, be more realistic. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Diana Gaspar to be followed by Beverly Fuller. Sorry.
Diana Gaspar is not here.
Diana Gaspar is not here. Beverly Fuller to be followed by John Walsh.
I need to complain because MTA changed the bus passes from being a month to 30 days, and I can't get my daughter to school on October 31st. She goes almost over two hours away from my house to school, to a magnet school. We have holes in our shoes, and I can't purchase shoes, and I can't come up with $9.50 to buy day passes on the 31st to get her to school. I really would appreciate it if somebody would send the passes back to monthly instead of 30 days. I receive disability. I only get money once a month. I have no money left in my purse at all. I don't have a dime to my name, and I rely on the pass to be available to vote to me for the whole month so I don't have to scramble to come up with money at the end of the month. And I have emailed some MTA relations and some guy named Richard Saldivar. He wrote me back and told me to buy a pass that I already have.
Well, Mr. Mitchell, going to talk with you right away, and we'll take. Please see Mr. Mitchell. He's right there. Okay. John Walsh.
I hope you understand what she was saying. She's saying in the old days you bought a pass on July 1st, it was good for the whole month. Now if you buy a pass on July 1st, it's not good for July 31st. That's what she's saying. The mayor's not here. What happened with the mayor? The mayor came in, saw there were no cameras, and left, as usual. You know, I was going to personally attack the mayor, but it's a waste of time when he's not here. And I just like to tell you, as far as the tap card is concerned, and I like the way you don't even... Is there anybody up here who wants to apologize to this woman? No. Mark Ridley Thomas, get your ass out there and talk to your sister. Get your ass out there. I'm sorry. When I see a black politician, I see a white politician. Yeah. Well, this woman was crying because she can't send her child to school on the 31st. And the Bus Riders Union is siding with you.
Mr. Walsh.
HollywoodHires.org.
Thank you.
Racist.
Okay. That's all the public. And you have before you a motion. Any more comments from the board? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All in favor of the motion, please.
Aye.
I'm time to vote. Opposed? So ordered. Excuse me, I got my act together in a minute.
Is the board going to respond to that issue?
No, they're all white. They're all white.
Excuse me. We responded to the particular issue.
This has
been heard by the folks that are here, and it's certainly something that we'll look at. Okay. It's not anything we can attack today.
It can be further discussed.
And I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will.
Mr. Chair, we'll come. Madam Chair, we'll come back with a report in January.
All right. There'll be a report in January from the staff. And thank you.
baker's dozen or something.
Be a report in January. That'll give them time to look into it and see the
And meanwhile, people will be able to pay for the 31st in December. Like, this is urgent. You all
okay, thank you. Thank you.
Cash.
Hear it? We're done.
Item 52, security.
Dwayne Martin, Deputy Executive Officer. Morning, Board Members. Mr. Leahy, with respect to saving as much time for questions as you need, I'll keep my comments short. October 20th, 2011, the Operations Committee approved the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department to provide law enforcement services for the period covering November 1st through June 30th, 2012, in the amount not to exceed $58,844,951. The total fiscal year 12 transit community policing contract is $80,725,795, inclusive of the startup capital cost to Patrol Expo Phase 1 and the Silver Line introduced by Directors Kanabe, Ridley, Thomas, and O'Connor. I come forward to the full board for authorization without consent as a result of the introduction of the motion by the Directors Kanabe, Ridley, Thomas, and O'Connor. And I'm here with the Commander Jordan, our Chief of Transit Policing, and Tim Quach, our analyst, their chief analyst, so we're ready to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions from the board? No questions? That's unusual. All right. Thank you very much. Public input from John Walsh.
On transportation than they do at the jails. I think we can all agree on that. I'm telling you right now that a man was stabbed to death at Hollywood and Vine. You arrested somebody in Manhattan Beach, a transit-dependent man named Gene Sim. You're holding him. He's a minority. He's not black and he's not Hispanic, but he's still a minority. And he's been held for how many months? He hasn't been charged. They have him on some sort of hold on probation hold. I want to know who killed. We don't know who stabbed that person to death. You arrested somebody as a placeholder, and still we have to deal with, and they would have done nothing about it except it happened in front of a reporter at the L.A. Times. It's dangerous there, and all you're interested in is having the sheriffs waste their time on fare enforcement. And when you don't lock the gates, expect to be
in
your house or on the subway.
I'm sorry. We have an amendment to the motion. Thomas and O'Connor. It's under 50. Department identify and include the appropriate dedicated law enforcement positions and capital requirements for Harbor Transit Way law enforcement services law enforcement contract. So that is an amendment to the budget item that is before you. Is there further discussion?
No.
Go ahead, please. Do I have a motion?
Move approval.
Thank you. Is there a second? Vote on the item. There's no further discussion. Further discussion.
Amendment was the Silver Line, right?
Yeah, includes.
To providing for
amendment is 52.1,
which is what
Harbor Transit Way law enforcement services.
We had an unsecured area that was having issues.
We added four FTEs to secure the Silver Line.
complicated.
Or not? Oh, okay, good.
Vote. And so did I, but okay. Director Molina? Carries. Let's go to item number 9.
Madam Chair, my name is Cal Hollis. I'm with the Countywide Planning Development Group. And we're here to discuss the TOD grant program. This item was heard by the Planning Committee. Additional motion provide additional funding for a second round of grants. This grant program was included in the budget. It's designed to provide.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
Second. With the amendments.
Session. Please vote on the item. Oh, I'm sorry, public comment. Don't vote yet. Mr. Sachs, thank you.
Arnold Sachs. You know, it's fascinating. On Tuesday at the County Board of Supervisors, there was a discussion about a transit-oriented development at the Aviation Green Line Station. And people came up and discussed concerns about the parking if this transit-oriented development comes through. And they were told that there would be no change in number of spaces. It would be 400 spaces as there are now. But the station would be reconfigured. And the station property would be taken over by Metro. But what wasn't included was the reconfiguration that will take place when the Crenshaw line connects to the Green Line station. So what happens is the city or the state or the county, the city or the county will make plans for land use, cede the property over to Metro, and Metro will make more plans for land use by eliminating parking spaces. And they'll say, well, it wasn't us, and it wasn't them, and it wasn't us, and it wasn't them. And who's going to get hammered? The public. So thank you for your wonderful transit-oriented development.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. You have the motion before you. Is there any further comment from the board? Okay, then please vote on the motion. Mr. Antonovich, we need your vote. There we go. Okay, motion passes. Can we please move to item? Yes. Okay. Antonovich is? Yes.
The mayor's not here.
We just were correcting the vote. It didn't show up, so now it does. Please move to item 47. No? Oh, I was just told by his staff to go ahead and do it. So. Report, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
With me, Mr. Dennis Murray, the project director for the West Side Subway, and also we have David A. Item number 47 is requesting approval for continuation of the preliminary engineering for the West Side Subway Project in support of the full funding grant application that we are working with FDA. And Dennis will make a brief presentation as to what the tasks involved and what work we are going to be doing between now and the FFGA application.
Okay. Good morning. Last year in October, the board approved authorization to begin the preliminary engineering for the West Side Subway Project. And preliminary engineering is a requirement to provide sufficient information so that staff can make a recommendation to the board to adopt the project and certify the environmental document. And that work is being sufficiently performed. However, this is an FTA New Starts project. And so the FTA requires that each project perform the amount of engineering that is sufficient to demonstrate to the FTA that the agency can build the projects on time and within budget. Part of the FTA approval process includes risk assessment. And I have the experience from previous projects to know that the FTA process, although being very stringent, is a great project management tool. I was the project manager for both the East Side Gold Line project and also the project manager for the Metro Red Line Segment 3 North Hollywood project. Both FTA projects were completed on time and within budget. So I believe that the requirements that the FTA imposes upon the agencies, although sometimes appear to be onerous, are beneficial to the grantee to ensure that the projects can be completed on time within budget. The next step in the FTA process is to, after the board certifies the environmental document, would be to issue a record decision. So in this, in support of the 3010 schedule, in support of America Fast Forward, our staff and our consultants have been working very aggressively to try to get make sure that all the work is performed in a very timely manner. So the next step would be to come to the board in the early part of next year to seek the board's approval of the project, certify the document, and shortly thereafter, we would like to receive the FTA's record decision. Now, the next step in the FFGA funding process is to get approval to enter the final design. And typically, that takes about 6 months beyond the record decision. And we are working with the FTA to try to expedite that next step in the approval process. However, that is typically what the time frame is. Now, what that means is that, assuming that we get a record decision in the early part of next year, there's going to be a gap between when we can start additional engineering. Fortunately, in our current consultant contract, we have language in there and within the current scope that will allow us to continue and advance the preliminary engineering. The West Side Subway project is a very complex project. It's completely underground. It's 9 miles. It has 7 underground stations. It goes through the mid-city area, the Wilshire-Fairfax area, Century City, Beverly Hills, and Westwood, and there is a terminal station at the VA hospital. Along the entire alignment, there are major stakeholders. There are federal properties. The VA hospital, there is a station plan there, which is a federal property. We also have a crossover that is planned on the GSA property. The alignment crosses underneath the 405 freeway. The alignment goes into Westwood. There is a planned station at UCLA. There is also a station planned in Century City, one in Beverly Hills, one at Wilshire-Fairfax, one at Wilshire-La Cienega. These are very, very complex urban areas with high-rise buildings. We want to ensure that we do sufficient engineering to make sure that we do not have significant settlement. We want to make sure that we continue to work with all the stakeholders and property owners to make sure that we can identify the properties, come up with good real estate estimates, to make sure that the property owners, the station entrances, the linkages to the bus and rail are well-defined. And we plan to do all this as we continue preliminary engineering into the next phase. So I think that, you know, in our history with other projects, we know that a lot of the costs that create cost overruns have to do with contingencies, not enough contingencies, known and unknowns. As part of the FTA risk assessment process, they require that the agencies have get a good handle on all the things that they are out of their control. We have to work with the feds. We have to work with the state, Caltrans, the county, and the city, and the city of Beverly Hills to make sure that all the work is done with those major stakeholders before we complete the design, before we get our full footing right agreement, before we start construction. And that's why it is very important for us to use this time wisely to continue the engineering, to define all these known unknowns, and to make sure that we give the board a good project with a good budget and a good schedule. And that's why we need to perform this work.
In addition to what Dennis said, we have two other items that we need to look into very carefully, the fossils while we go through the tar sands, which is something unique in an urban area and especially for the tunneling project. So all of these tasks need engineering development so we can have a good handle on the project. With that, we request the approval.
Questions from members of the board? I have a question. I heard all that has to be done, and we've been encouraged by America Fast Forward and the other FTA programs. But we also have to, I think, be aware that, as you said, it's going to take a long, long time, and there's no guarantee, I guess is what I'm saying. So I think it's incumbent upon us to do the best we can to put our best foot forward, but we also have to be aware that hasn't been signed, sealed, and delivered yet.
Like I said, Madam Chair, points well taken. We are working towards America Fast Forward, but right now our current financial planning program is, generally speaking, based on a conventional. Our current approach on this does not assume, we are not acting completely on an assumption that America Fast Forward is going to be approved. We certainly can't do the construction program based on America Fast Forward until the federal government approves that, and they haven't approved it yet. May never, but we're working towards that goal. So point, I'm trying to say I understood and accepted.
Okay. Any other comments from the board? Public comment from Arnold Sachs. Okay, now there's a second over here. And he'll be followed by John Walsh.
Good morning, Arnold Sachs. I suggest that maybe Metro might make a flag on time and on budget. They can hoist it up above.
This is a wonderful
item. West Side Subway Extension public meeting from... West Side Extension Transit Corridor Update Meeting, September 2008. West Side Subway Extension Public Meetings, April 2009. West Side Subway Extension Planning and Programming and Measure R, January 2010. City Balks at Tunnel Route, October 30th, 2010. On time and on budget. How come you have these meetings with the routes discussed and then 2.5 years later, there's going to be a change or there's going to be a lawsuit?
On time, on budget.
9 miles, 7 stations. I thought Metro had a program where there was a station every mile. So that means 9 miles, you're missing 2 stations. So that's not included in the cost for this.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs.
Doggle. Thank you very much. Very efficient, Ms. O'Connor, I'll tell you.
John Walsh, just the Google Walsh Confidential, you see our website. I have to agree with the Madam Chairman. There's no guarantee. But you have spent, you just added $12 million cost over, and you're spending $90 million of our tax money, and you haven't even filed to the FDA for a full funding grant agreement. You know, you got to understand, this is a religious thing. For my friends, the born-again Christians, the second coming is of Jesus Christ. For my friends, the liberals, the second coming is rail. Both will be paradise. In fact, you are now, I'm telling you right now, incidentally, when you say on budget, no rail project has ever finished on budget.
on final budget after you added tens of millions, but on initial construction budget, none of your projects have finished on budget.
Mr. Walsh. We have a motion. Comments? Please take the vote. Director Molina, you don't show up. Okay. Motion passes.
Wait a minute.
What?
There's a bunch of names that were well, here, but they were shown as absent.
A minute ago, it was...
Yeah.
Right.
So, who's voting? Everyone's yes.
Okay. We have them all now, right? So, motion passes.
I cast all the votes.
Item 28.
Good job.
Item number 28 is requesting approval of several recommendations concerning the Petsoras Plaza. Mr. Tim Lindholm, Director for Capital Projects, will make the presentation, and Stephanie Wiggins also is here, Executive Officer for the El Monte Busway Project.
Good morning, Board of Directors. Tim Lindholm, Director of Capital Projects. This action will authorize the CEO to do a number of items. One, to separate the scope of work for the Petsoras Plaza project from the El Monte Station project. To establish a separate life of project budget for the Petsoras Plaza project in the amount of $16.8 million. To reprogram $4.9 million in local funds that the board had previously programmed to Petsoras Plaza, take that from the El Monte and put it in the Petsoras. To amend the FY12 budget in the amount of $1.7 million to proceed with engineering work. And perhaps the good news portion of this item is a new revision that was made and should be in your packets as a revised item to accept a discretionary FTA grant in the amount of $9,679,000 for the Petsoras Plaza project, which we received last week. So in terms of background, in February of 2009, the board approved a life of project budget for the El Monte Station and the Petsoras Plaza Busway Station project as part of the Express Lanes program. Typically, when we set these budgets, we would have completed preliminary engineering, environmental concept planning. In this case, we had to comply with the MOU with the USDOT to get the $210 million, and we needed to have a funding plan in place. So we approved the life of project budget before any engineering or environmental work was done. In terms of status with El Monte, I'm going to go through just some pictures of what's going on with El Monte. After an intensive stakeholder and community process, we awarded a design-build contract with KPRS in the amount of $39 million to start construction of El Monte. In November of 2010, we encountered a great deal of soil contamination on the site, returned to the board in January of 2010, and got permission to do some change orders to finish that soil excavation. We finished that excavation in June. In the end, we trucked off about 160,000 tons of contaminated soil and debris to about 8 different facilities across the county. In addition to the soil contamination, we ran into concrete debris, bricks, telephone poles, railroad ties, cars, you name it, we ran into it. The additional costs attributed to the soil contamination were $7.5 million. And like I said, this phase of the project is now done. The project's about 50% complete today. All excavation and utility relocations are done. The walls are up, columns are up, and we have a huge milestone actually happening today where we're pouring our first deck. So we're now out of the ground. The project will be complete in August of 2012. And the current budget forecast shows that El Monte can be completed within the $60 million LOP, including a 5% contingency. So I'll just briefly go over the pictures. This was groundbreaking in September. We opened up a new temporary terminal so that we could knock down the old El Monte terminal. There we show demolition of El Monte, a huge milestone, which was installing a new 20-inch high-pressure gas main, which happened in January, and then we opened up a new road in February so we could start construction. This just shows pictures of the soil contamination and all the rubble and debris we ran into during the excavation. There's a lot of the metal we found, rubble. There's the creosote impacted wood waste. We actually ran into asbestos in the soil. But all this was gone in June. Here's an aerial photograph that shows how the site looked in June when we were done with excavation. This is how it looks in September, where the columns are starting to go up. And this is it just from a couple weeks ago, where you can see that we're out of the ground and we're starting to build the deck now. Station will open in August of 2012, and this is what it's going to look like. So the next piece of the project is Patsouris Plaza. I'll explain the project just a little bit. The current Silver Line station for Union Station is located at the corner of Alameda, right there to the left on your screen. It has no passenger amenities. It's basically just a bus stop. It's unconnected to Union Station. It has no passenger amenities like signage, security, wayfinding, system information. The new station is on the right, and I'm going to show you how we build it. We're finally able to connect the El Monte Busway with Patsouris Plaza and Union Station. Just to give you an example of why this is so critical, and this happens up and down the Silver Line from the South Bay to the east, is that every single station is a BRT-type station with all the amenities I discussed, except for what should be one of the flagship stations that connects to Union Station. So the bottom right picture shows the current condition of the bus stop for the Silver Line at Union Station. So how do we do this project? We basically widen the El Monte Busway Bridge. We widen it to the north and south, build a median station in between, and connect it to Union Station, and this is what it looks like. So in terms of readiness for the project, all preliminary engineering is done. Caltrans has signed off on the project. The project report and project study report are done. The final budget to complete the project is $16.8 million. The good news is that on last Monday, we ended up getting a grant for $9.6 million from the feds, which leaves the local money requested as part of this action at $7.2 million. So in terms of timing on Patsouris, we're just working on mitigating some issues that we have right now with the Express Lanes project to make sure that our project does not impact the Express Lanes project in any way. We're working on that, and assuming that we can mitigate these risks, which I believe we can, we can start construction as soon as summer 2012 and open the new station in spring of 2014. So that concludes my report, and be happy to answer any questions.
This connector is vital, and it's long overdue. I appreciate the great work in getting the grant and what's happening with this project. I move approval.
Second, are there any other comments from the directors? Arnold Sachs has comments he wants to make.
The asshole always sits at the back so he can walk up.
While you reconfigure Patsouris Terminal, please keep in mind to put some signage up for that describes to the public buses that load off-site of the terminal, such as at the corner of Alameda and Cesar Chavez. In addition, if you need to send any documentation to Nick Patsouris, he's the president and CEO of the Polis Builders Limited, 523 West 6th Street. He got some documentation for the corporation grant deed. That's the one that they land to the Los Angeles to Pasadena Blue Line Construction Authority. Authorized entity by either the state, the county, or the MTA.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. You have a recommendation before you. It's moved and seconded. Please cast your votes.
The prompt.
Call the stars up. Now what?
It's in order.
It's not working, okay.
Thank you.
Item on the agenda, number 64.
Chair, let me, on item 64, this is a motion. This follows up on a meeting, conference, seminar, symposium that was held by Metrolink that Mr. Katz, Mr. Jerry, and I attended along with other members of the membership of the MetroLink board, dealing with the issue of safety and the importance of having safety now as elected officials as our top priority. Safety goes beyond the notion of having our sheriff's department providing security on the department. It's shared by all board and staff, and usually it takes a tragic accident. At the symposium, we had seen what occurred in Washington with that drastic, tragic accident, and then we also what occurred in Chatsworth with the Metrolinx accident that we had here. So what you have here, the challenges that we make is to be proactive, and by developing a fully developed organizational safety culture to accomplish our goals without cutting the corners or devaluing the priority of safety. So this motion seeks to make visible our board's commitment to safety and provide the leadership and influence necessary as a board to support the CEO and his staff in their efforts to protect the safety of the public that ride our system. So that's the genesis of that motion.
Seconded.
Any?
I'm sure just one quick comment. This requires a consultant and a report back within 90 days. It'll take us some time to procure a consultant. We might talk with APTA about a peer review. So we'll certainly report back within 90 days. It may take a little longer to
get. That's fine. Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
Whatever the sweat. Put Arnold Sachs. To be followed by not. Yes. Okay.
And
followed by John Walsh, Mr. Miscotti.
Mr. Miscotti, ma'am.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Miscotti.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry.
I'm Raj Miscotti. I'm a professor of engineering at USC. To congratulate Mr. Antonovich, you. And I talked to your.
Can you speak into the microphone?
Can you speak louder?
No, I know he's having.
Have a.
But you just got to get really close to it.
Voice problem. And sorry, Mr. Katz. I'm Raj Miscotti, a professor of engineering at USC. I have been in the business of safety culture for 25 years. I have been very critical of MTA and Metrolink on their safety culture. I've written some articles that I present. Mr. Antonovich, I want to congratulate you on this. And Mr. Leahy, please use an independent consultant, not another one of those crony agencies that they come with some platitude about better communication and that. Don't create the mess that Selenofer Nuclear Power Plant created for themselves. Respect their safety culture assessment. Again, my articles has written about that in Los Angeles Times, New York Times. I can provide you that. But congratulations, Mr. Antonovich. Thank you.
Followed by Kimberly Richards.
John Walsh, and I hope this includes worker safety. Go outside. Right in front of this building is a memorial. It's 6 foot high to Jaime Casillas. Jaime Casillas was a Mexican-American worker who was brutally killed, crushed to death, building the subway on Hollywood. And I remember coming to these meetings, you were saying, somebody's going to get killed. And remember, it's ironic that it's a white Republican who seems to be interested in safety, because the people injured are always minorities. But I will say that Gloria Molina is the reason there is a memorial out there for Jaime Casillas, because at least we have one supervisor that cares about the blood of their own people and does not sell it. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Mr. Walsh. Kimberly Richards, be followed by Greg, and you're going to have to, is it, I think it's Placentia. Okay.
Directors. Tell me when I'm close enough to the mic that you can hear me. Okay, I'll start over. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, directors. Kimberly Richards, Chair of the Metro San Fernando Valley Service Council. If it's possible to agree with all but one part of a motion, I will do so. We should always be focused on system safety. In the 8 years that I've served on a council for this agency, I've gotten numerous reports on system safety. The service councils deal with that issue all the time. And I applaud Director Antonovich for wanting to get us refocused on that. However, I disagree with paragraph C of the motion. I do not see the need to rename the committee because system safety is already part of the operations committee. And I fear this would set a dangerous precedent. The next time we have a major overriding issue, we'll add another name to the committee, and yet another, and yet another. Leave the committee name alone, but approve the rest of the motion. Thank you.
Mr. Plasencia?
I, too, am from the Viterbi School, Greg Plasencia. I'm actually a colleague of Dr. Mishkati. And I, too, want to congratulate you, Dr. Terman Antonovich, simply because this isn't a very important issue. I think one thing that happens often is that people just want to throw a technology or just want to throw more money into a system that often fails. In fact, I was part of a safety course with Metrolink not too far long ago in which we tried to make sure that people understand that it has to go all the way to the organization. That even the simple solutions are probably better than any just monetary solutions or just software solutions or just any type of technology. In fact, I too hope, as what Dr. Mishkati was talking about, that this does have teeth, that this ensures that when people are out there, and it does go down even to the employee and to the passenger even, because if we're not insured of that, what's going to happen is we'll have just another committee, just another name, and again, I hope that what happens is that names are just not what we get, but actually a true enforcement of system. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments from the directors?
I have a comment.
Thank you. It's a very good motion, and I strongly support it. I would only make a comment by way of a suggestion, and that we reach out to our partners at Metrolink, who are now currently in housed in the same structure that we are, since the chairmanship of Director Katz and our new CEO. Metrolink has gone to great lengths focusing on safety. Their safety officer is here in the audience, Doug Jackson. So to the extent we can drop down a few floors and include some of their thoughts and some of their experiences in turning that corner towards emphasis on safety, I think it'd be a great low-cost way and help build the bonds between our two agencies toward the one common goal of safety.
Thank you. Director Hunter, did you have?
No, just ask for an aye vote.
No, I was going to ask for an aye vote also, Madam Chair, but also along what Mr. Najarian said, the the Metrolink board stepped up big time after we dissected Chatsworth and all the rest. And I think for anybody who's met John Fenton knows that when he says safety is foundational, he's talking about his life as well as the railroad, and they're inseparable. And I think, calling it out, I disagree with Kimberly a little bit on the name. I understand you shouldn't have to call it out for safety to be foundational. But at a time when it's also good to remind everybody once in a while and do the refresher courses and remind people about there's nothing more important for our passengers, our crews, our employees. So along those lines, support what supervisor's doing.
And I would also suggest, perhaps I was just talking to Richard, what we did with Metrolink, we ought to have that same program here on some Saturday in the future for all members of the board and our staff, because it was one of the most meaningful symposiums that I've ever attended from a public or private perspective.
Yeah, it's also all the stuff we all take for granted because, we want to do it and we believe in it. But, frankly, on our own, left to our own devices, we don't know the right ways to improve safety around here. I mean, Art knows that, his staff knows that, and these folks that at the SC group that we're putting together. I mean, it's got to be a serious good program for me to be excited about anything at USA. And this is that good. This is that good. Until Art did that. But this is that good.
So and, I hear what you're saying, and I would ask Art to.
Yeah, no, we'll work with Art on that. And, nice thing, Fenton's just a couple floors down now, but. The one thing I will say, again, because of the staff at Metrolink and the board, I feel pretty confident in saying that we will go from Chatsworth in 08, that by mid-year, by beginning of 13, middle 13, probably to the safest passenger railroad in the United States.
Well, since you two both went to the symposium, may I ask you, I I understand the spirit of this, but there's not much said about maintenance and rehabilitation of.
That's
of,
part of it. That's
that
part
is part of it. Okay.
Part of it.
Because
true.
I think that's key.
I mean, Washington,
the Washington, D.C. Tragedy is part of that.
Okay.
And that really is number one. I mean, it's all part of safety, and we take it
absolutely.
For granted. And what happened in D.C. is just crazy. I mean, we had a crazy engineer here that shouldn't have been there, but he was. But in D.C., it was a complete breakdown.
Right. And it was maintenance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Will you cast your votes, please?
Clear the roll.
Any objection?
Oh, what a good idea. Thank you. No objections, so ordered. How's that? Thanks for casting your votes. Item 63.
Good morning. Good morning, Board. Item 63 is a staff report regarding the State Route 710 GAP environmental document. It's an action to award an EIR-EIS contract authorizing the chief executive officer to award a firm a cost-plus fixed fee contract number PS4710-2755 CH2M Hill, Inc. in the amount of $37,300,000 for professional services. It also includes contract modification authority for up to 15% of the contract value to cover unforeseen things, issues that arise during environmental engineering and community participation phases. I have with me Frank Kwan and Michelle Smith. Michelle's done yeoman's work to get this item in front of you, and we're here to answer any questions.
Questions from the board?
The technical analysis you will make will cover the extension subway, non-subway, et cetera. Are you currently going to study any multimodal analysis?
Yes, sir. We anticipate that we'll be looking at multimodal transit alternatives as well as highway alternatives.
Got it. And in that multimodal analysis, will you include a possible rail that will connect Cal State LA, where the 710 currently ends, to the Gold Line that is being constructed on the northern end?
You know, that has come up in discussion. We're aware that that's something we anticipate will need to be studied as a part of this alternative.
So that will be included in the analysis?
At this point in time, yes, sir. We're anticipating that will be one of the items. We need to begin doing the study, but, yes, that looks like something that needs to be studied to us.
Great. Thank you, because I think if we're looking at a tunnel that will go through the end of the 710 that ends in El Sereno up north to the 210 as one alternative of many. You have Cal State LA there with a number of students who attend, and if we get a rail line that could connect that school up to the Gold Line up north, I think that would be a great benefit if possible, but I think that should be included in the analysis if possible.
We agree with you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, at the appropriate time, and you guys will tell me if this is or not, I want to raise the NRDC suggested amendment, the South Pass suggested amendment. Is that because I believe it was on this item having to do with the contract on the 710? Correct? Okay. The question goes back to the surface route. And as I understand, and this is where I wanted to get some help, state law precludes a surface route. Federal law, I guess, doesn't, obviously. If we're, you know, and I think this board has made it pretty clear that the surface route is not where the focus is. Everyone, you know, we're looking at the tunnel and what can be done and how, you know, the possibilities. That's the reason for the document, the scoping, et cetera. How much, if the surface route's not a real viable alternative because of state law or for whatever reason, why don't we take it out now? And does that, and if we were to take it out now, does that reduce our cost, our time, et cetera? I know it sends a message to a lot of the communities that will actually get some goodwill for it, you know, for a change in terms of dealing with them for at least 10 or 15 minutes. I'm not
trying to be naive, Doug. I mean, no, I said 10 or 15 minutes. Come on. Maybe 20. A good day, 24. But it is what it is. But if we're not going there, you know, the argument I hear is that we're afraid that we could get sued, I guess, on the federal side for not considering all the alternatives if we eliminate the surface route. And I'm just trying to figure out how real is that. You know, and some of the groups that would be natural suing us are the ones who asked actually to take this out, which I assume means they won't sue us over it. But there are other groups. There's always somebody to sue. So that's what I'm just trying to get a handle on.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Director Katz. And the recent change in state law doesn't, by the law itself, mean a surface route is off the table. What it does is it restores to South Pasadena their rights for a freeway agreement if a surface route is built, and then it modifies, and there's a need to modify their existing city streets. We do anticipate that South Pasadena would exercise their rights and effectively block a surface route, but the state law does not take it off the table. So under from the staff's perspective, you know, the cleanest way for us to make sure there are no future challenges is to you know, study it, take a look at it, determine that a surface route has much greater environmental impacts than other possible routes, take it off the table with that information documented within the document. I agree with you that it is good to hear an NRDC and other communities perhaps saying that if this comes off the table, it would be something that wouldn't be used. I believe their offer to be credible, of course.
Also, I think.
Yeah, in South Pasadena and other communities. But there is still any one individual out there. Any one individual opposed to the project can use that to create an environmental challenge. I don't think it's going to take a lot of staff work to determine a surface route has a big environmental impact compared to other alternatives, and the added cost of putting in the appropriate environmental defense would offset that. I'm not sure at this point in time I'm prepared to say there would be a cost savings.
But how big, if, you know, in sort of weighing this all out?
I'm not going to spend a lot of money on the surface route kind of making the determination I think I need to.
I understand that. And actually, in some way, yeah, I appreciate that. I'm thinking, given your comment, given what we all sort of believe, given South Pass's veto power on that, under that agreement, it's just one of those contentious things we could put to rest. So I'm just trying to figure out how you know, if I had to weigh sort of the potential upside, whether it's, you know, 15 minutes or 35 minutes, but just in terms of eliminating something that is a thorn, you know, is a concern for a lot of people, versus the fear, which is legitimate, of getting sued and how that would impact if we took this out at the request of environmental groups or a local city. I mean, how do we evaluate that risk?
Yes, sir. You know, this is one of those, I think it's really a very close call thing. From staff's perspective, obviously, we'd like to tie this one with all the possible ribbons and do the staff work and close it off that way. I recognize the value of the offer on the table that's in front of the board and what that may well do, as well as helping the project progress. If the board were to direct us to not consider a surface route, I still think I would, from a staff perspective, put some work and documentation into the environmental document to clearly have within that document for that other guy who's not a part of this agreement thing. There's value to it, sir. Assessing that versus my need to close up the document it's a very close call. I await board's direction. Staff would prefer that it not happen, obviously, because we'd prefer to protect it through that process, but we'll do what you guys tell us.
I think they answered most of the questions, but we had some other issues that came up in the evaluation of this contract due to process. Has that all been cleared up?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, when we first brought this contract before you, not all of the PM project management recommendations for the recommended team had been completed. We did disclose that in the staff report that we were in the process of completing that. We had completed all of the pre-qualification of all the firms, though, so they're all qualified firms, financially capable and technically capable of producing the product that we need here. We have completed all of the step process on closing up the issue with having checked references on the recommended team.
Appeals or anything in the process on that?
I am unaware of any appeals in the process, sir.
the board?
I would like to thank Roger Moliere and Mike Schneider for sitting down and keeping their promise to us on meeting with a group of concerned citizens on the some of the issues regarding the scoping and the PPP analysis. And I would look forward to another meeting, and I'd like this particular issue to be addressed either in this contract or separately in the PPP analysis. And that is the advent of the widening of the Panama Canal. Certain reports indicate that there's going to be a huge diversion of freight to the eastern seaboard and the Gulf seaboard that may make a dramatic impact on some of the assumptions that we were making in this whole process that may obviate the need for even building this tunnel because there's not going to be any trucks coming down and intending to use it. So if that issue can be addressed, obviously a few years ago it maybe wasn't on the radar screen, but it is a reality. It will be done in a few years. If that can somehow be folded in and maybe have a I don't know if Roger's here or Mike Snyder, maybe another meeting with regard to the explaining to me and those interested the impacts of the Panama Canal and the freight diversion that that would cause.
Yes, Director Najarian, that is actually a very important issue, one that we're tracking. It will be folded into the traffic models that we use. Both the ports are actually looking at their projections, making potential freight modification projections from what the ports will generate. We'll fit that into the overall model, and that will be a consideration of part of what we do, obviously, as ourselves along with Mr. Moliere. Would be available at any time to brief you as we get some data on what those impacts may or may not be, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate your extra effort on this.
Any other comments from the board? Public comments. Council Member Putnam from the City of South Pasadena to be followed by Douglas Carstens.
Thank you. I'm speaking on behalf of the City of South Pasadena today to say that a surface route should not be studied in the upcoming EIR. Senator Gil Cedillo worked together with the City of South Pasadena to assure that a tunnel project, which he favors, could be fairly studied without the threat of a surface route being surreptitiously or unwantedly imposed on South Pasadena. That resulted in the passage of AB 751, which you've heard about already. The bill easily passed because everyone recognizes that a surface route would be so environmentally devastating, it could and would never be built. We can recognize that now, at this time. An EIR need not consider every possible alternative that would minimize environmental impacts. Not studying a surface route that would never be built anyway will save millions of dollars. At a meeting recently with Supervisor Antonovich, South Pasadena was assured that at the appropriate time, a surface route would be removed from any further consideration. Now is that time. Thank you.
Carstens, be followed by Dr. Bill Sherman.
Good morning, Madam Chair and honorable board members. This is Douglas Carstens, special counsel for the City of South Pasadena. And we submitted a letter October 25, 2001, explaining these points and the wisdom and the advisability of removing the surface route as an alternative. Because a lot of this has been addressed, let me speak specifically to the legal issue of the defensibility of the analysis if it were to exclude the surface route. I submit respectfully that the analysis could become vulnerable if the surface route were included because as the bottom of our page 3 in our letter addresses, there are guidelines both under the California Environmental Quality Act and the National Environmental Policy Act to limit alternatives to ones that avoid or substantially lessen any significant effects of the project. So I think it is the best thing to remove the surface route from analysis. It can be explained why it's infeasible, but I do believe it must be removed and would save millions of dollars. Could be used on bus passes and the 31st of
February. Madam Chair, can we ask the lawyer for South Pass, either this gentleman or the other gentleman, a question? Just, you're one of the South Pass lawyers? Or,
yes.
Because that okay.
Correct.
Sorry. Can you respond? Can you give other than it can be explained based on precedent, case law, what have you? Anything that would make us feel more comfortable that should we relieve that we won't get sued by other folks for taking it out and not doing the complete EIR, EIS.
Yes.
Absolutely, Director Katz. The place I would look to start with is in the guidelines specifically. There are guidelines, regulations that implement the California Environmental Quality Act. One is numbered 15126.6F, and it is the one that states alternatives shall be limited. It's a mandate to limit alternatives to ones that would avoid or substantially lessen significant impacts.
What about the feds?
Feds, under the Code of Federal Regulations, Title 40, Section 1502.1, states that an EIS shall inform decision makers and the public about reasonable alternatives which would avoid or minimize adverse impacts or enhance the quality of the human environment. So both state and feds do have this requirement to not analyze alternatives that have more impacts than proposed projects.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Dr. Bill Sherman, no Penn Action Committee. Inclusion of the surface route as a possible alternative in the SR 710 extension RFP seems somewhat incongruous. I am merely a physician, not a lawyer, but I'm aware that there has been an injunction against the surface route first established in 1973 and then renewed in 1999 by Judge Dean Pregerson. I think that this has to be considered. Is it not violating the terms of the injunction to be restudying the surface route when it has been, the injunction has been established for at least 12 years? I'd ask that the injunction be considered before including the surface route in the RFP. Thank you.
Tommy, to be followed by Sherry Franklin.
Good morning. And thank you, Damon Nagami with the Natural Resources Defense Council. I'm here to I have a couple of requests. First, we would ask that the contract scope be amended to exclude a surface route. This has been discussed already. Our view is that Metro shouldn't be spending millions of dollars to analyze a route that's just not going to happen. Second, we would ask that community outreach be improved, especially in areas like El Sereno, where we understand that outreach was less effective during scoping than it could have been. We raised several points in our scoping comments. I won't repeat them here, but suffice it to say that Metro's outreach failed to engage neighborhoods like El Sereno that will be most heavily impacted by the project. We would appreciate a meeting with Metro and Metro's outreach consultants to make sure the same mistakes aren't made moving forward with the EIR-EIS. Some of us may disagree on how the 710 project is approached, but I don't think any of us disagree that Metro should not be wasting money and should be providing adequate public participation. Thank you.
Franklin, to be followed by Bill Stracker.
Good morning, board members. I'm Sherry Franklin.
Speak right into the microphone because we're having trouble hearing you. At least I am.
Sorry. Good morning, board members. Sherry Franklin with Urban Design Center. We are a project management, land use, and real estate development consulting firm. We work with government agencies and nonprofits on transit projects. We're currently working with CRA on the infill infrastructure project of Crenshaw Corridor. We're very excited to be a part of the team to analyze and conceptualize the modal possibilities for the SR 710 GAP project. And we believe that we've been part of a selection process that has been very vigorous, non-political, and a team that has been selected based on merit and qualifications. And we believe that process should stand. We are supportive of this project, and as it is a voter-approved Measure R project that's going to create jobs that are desperately needed in this local economy, we hope that it moves forward. At this time, I'd like to ask all of the members of our team to stand who are in the audience. We have members of the CHM2 Hill team. We're very well represented here today. And we really look forward to working with Metro and Caltrans on this project. Thank you.
Stracker, to be followed by Dr. Tom Williams.
With Dean Ryan Consultants. I'm here on behalf of Dean Ryan as well as our CEO, Juana Martinez. And just want to say we are very, very pleased to be on this team that to go forward with the gap closure analysis for 710 Freeway.
Having been working in the transportation industry for many, many years, a couple of decades, we know how important it is to alleviate the congestion in this area, which will happen, which will, the 710 will help to alleviate. For over 25 years, we've been downtown Los Angeles as a Meeby Weeby engineering and consulting environmental firm, and we, our reputation is for highest quality service and the very high degree of integrity, and for that reason, we are also very pleased to be on the CH2L2L team. We are proud to be on this team and looking forward to your approval.
Thank you. Dr. Williams, to be followed by Leonard Dolly. Leland Dolly, I'm sorry.
Dr. Tom Williams, LA 32 Neighborhood Council and member of opposition to the 710. The basic element here is depicted in the projection. It combines the EIR, EIS, with the conceptual and preliminary engineering, which will be the basis for contracting in the future. This is usually not done. You usually want to have separate engineering versus the assessment. Why is it being done here when the traditional method is separation? In order to maintain objectivity and to reduce the potential for bias. There's also a matter that there are other consultancies already with MTA regarding the same project offered by the same corporation. So we're quite concerned about the objectivity and the bias of the preparation of the EIR. The scoping was ridiculous. It was not rigorous. And there will be future litigation.
Thank you. Leland Dolly, to be followed by Joanne Knuckles.
It's good to be here. I'm like to welcome myself to the board once again. Let me say that we agree 100% with every speaker that the appropriate and best ever environmental impact report with all the considerations of all the various options be actually undertaken and completed. We say again, we agree with everyone. Let's do it. This is a gap, as you all know, that needs to be completed after many, many, many years. I would like just to read briefly the folks that have been before you in one way or another for these many, many months and years. And Representative Judy Chu has been here, Senator Bob Huff, Assemblyman Gil Cedillo, Mike Ng, Assemblyman, Southern California Association of Governments, Independent Cities Association, the San Gabriel Valley Council of Governments, City of Pasadena through a resolution adopted by the people, San Gabriel Valley Economic Partnership, 710 Freeway.
Thank you.
And a whole bunch of cities.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman.
Joanne Knuckles to be followed by Arnold Sachs.
Representing the South Pasadena Preservation Foundation, I brought a hard copy of the letter that you received yesterday, and I just wanted to briefly say the amount of destruction and environmental damage were not justifiable 13 years ago for the surface route, even before the weight of evidence regarding the heavy toll of freeway-borne pollutants on health became so overwhelming, and it certainly isn't today. The surface freeway will destroy the same number of homes and trees, demolish the same number of historic neighborhoods, and suck the lifeblood out of one of Los Angeles County's oldest and best preserved historic communities. And also, in what I think is the most important thing that Doug needs to look at is in the letter from the Los Angeles Conservancy. If you look at the surface, the most important thing is that you would have to resurvey the cities of South Pasadena, Pasadena, and the El Sereno neighborhood of Los Angeles for historic and cultural resources that may be potentially affected. 16 years ago, there were some new ones found, and I have to say there's a lot more now. And I'm leaving a copy of the Freeway Fighting song that was debuted last night. We now have a song. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I want to copy the song. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Arnold.
Okay.
$37 million for the EIR report to be continued.
10%, 15% contingency fee. Might this have been one of the EIRs that would have been considered by state legislation, you know, the state, the legislators who paved the way for the AEG downtown stadium by waiving certain responsibilities of EIR, or even EIR report for the stadium to be built maybe at the 60 at the City of Industry Stadium. Either way, public money, out the door you go.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs.
I can see now.
Includes the public input. Have the item before you. A motion and a second, I believe. Do we have a motion and a second?
Somebody I'll help. Move approval by still got a question. I have questions. Okay. What I'm going to ask is I think what is quite obvious here is with the change in state law, while it may remain a state option, I also think that it will not be approved locally in terms of going with the surface route. I think it could be good money after bad to explore the surface route further in this document, but I also recognize I may be choosing between two can of worms, and I want to see us be able to move forward with a proposal that has a viable chance of being completed. So I'm asking for a more definitive response from staff than what I've heard before. I've kind of heard things that would suggest that the choice is really sort of ours. I'm asking our CEO, can we take the surface route out, or does it jeopardize the other options if we take it out at this time?
Madam Chair, members, I would not recommend taking it out because I think it invariably increases risk that someone who, for example, hypothetically opposes a certain option, other option, could sue based on the principle that we didn't consider surface. And so I think the safest course to go forward would be to include it. Mr. Fallon?
Yeah, and directors, if I did not seem definitive enough, I agree wholeheartedly with Mr. Leahy. I'm familiar with the CEQA guideline reference and the Code of Federal Regulations reference. And we do an alternatives analysis before we write the draft EIR. That's the time for those things to be documented and potentially removed, and that protects us. It just takes one individual, and we've heard reference today that we will be sued, and that's the chink in the armor.
Understanding all that and hearing the clarifications and recognizing the sentiment of the board and the change in state law, I will move the staff recommendation.
Second. Any further comments?
To be clear, state law prohibits a surface road.
No, sir. State route does not prohibit a surface route.
Okay. The Gil Cedillo legislation, what did that ask for?
The Gil Cedillo bill, there's a provision in state law that requires before a freeway is built and right-of-way is acquired for it, that if you're going to modify streets within cities, and a surface route obviously modifies streets, that you have to obtain a freeway agreement with that particular city. South Pasadena, there were certain provisions in state law that said under certain conditions, cities do not have that right to insist on a freeway agreement. South Pasadena was one of those cities that fit within that exception. It was the Martinez bill that created that exception many, many years ago. What the Cedillo bill is, it eliminated the provisions of the Martinez bill. It puts the gives South Pasadena full rights. It took care of the provisions so South Pasadena would have to sign a freeway agreement before we could modify city streets, i.e. build a surface route. But the state law in and of itself does not remove the surface route. It just restores to South Pasadena their ability to use a veto.
And in terms of your work, your workload, the scope of including the surface route, how much is it in money and time? How much additional work?
We've anticipated doing the alternatives analysis through the first 9 months. The anticipated cost of the alternatives analysis is about $12 million, Michelle? About $12 million for that piece of it. Removing the surface route will not shorten that time. for the work that we have to do. And I do not anticipate it to be a significant amount of money within that. I don't have a separate cost for that. Much of the work was done in the past, as was referenced some 16 years ago. We have all of that data. It's still good data. It's correct that there may be additional historic areas, but it may well be that that past data that was what has been done is enough for us to determine now the surface route is not viable, and then we can, doing the alternatives analysis at staff recommend with the appropriate due diligence, that it be precluded from further consideration as we write the draft environmental document. Something like that would be the process we would follow. I don't see it being expensive, but I don't have a separate cost for it, sir.
Okay, but it's not more, I mean, it's de minimis.
It's not millions of dollars, yeah. Not, by
okay.
any means.
And so legally, we're saying, or what I'm hearing from our CEO, is that not including the alternative, the above the surface route, will increase our risk in any litigation that is filed.
That is correct, sir.
That's the warning that we're getting.
Correct.
And I've also heard around this boardroom several times that many of us don't agree with the surface route, but that we have to do the analysis.
Yes, sir.
And I'm conflicted because I haven't voted for this item move forward. I'm very concerned about any disruption to that. If we should get a surface route, I've heard a lot about a tunnel route. Given the considerations, what if we do not include the surface route? We're going
to. If board were to direct staff that way, have to respond. We would still have to do our best to produce a defensible environmental document, and we would do so to the best of our ability, and that would be an issue we would just have to try and figure our way through, sir.
Imagine someone, let's take a hypothetical, someone opposes a tunnel.
Pardon me?
Just take a hypothetical that somebody opposes a tunnel on a project, one of the alignments, and we study that. But we don't study surface. Then the person comes back and says, your study of the tunnel is flawed because you didn't consider a surface alternative. We are setting up that problem.
That could be a slam dunk challenge to redo the document.
Yeah, we have something to compare it to should we be advocating for a tunnel.
Absolutely. So some level of appropriate staff work that is documented and says a tunnel is more environmentally preferable to a surface route protects us from such a challenge.
Okay, good. Well, I voted against this in the past, and I disagree with the direction of this. The amount of money we're investing of this up front is quite a bit, but if we need to get that information to make better decisions, I guess that's what we're being asked to do today, and we'll get that information through this. Thank you.
Supervisor Ganavi?
Yeah, I just, I think we need to leave it in there, the surface route. I mean, again, until you get the information up or down, I just think you're taking too much of a chance to pull it out at this particular point. So I would hope that motion, Mr. Fasano, your motion was still on the floor to approve it as recommended. Okay.
Second on that? I'm sorry. All right. I didn't see you.
The staff recommendation.
As the surface route at some level is in the alternatives analysis, that will require at least a reconnaissance level survey at historic resources. So understanding the impact of historic resources, which would mean maybe not an updated full-blown intensive survey, but some survey of both the known and what has
potentially become historic in that time frame. Yes,
right,
we would appropriate doing appropriate due diligence in all areas necessary,
right,
ma'am.
Right, so that kind of information on a surface route, what those impacts would be to cultural resources would be part of this.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, any other comments, questions? Let's cast our votes, please. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please. What do we have?
If it resets it.
It's on its deathbed. Would you restate the motion for us? Let's do that. Can we do that? Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
Fine. Any objections?
Yes.
Let's vote. O'Connor? I know. Okay, good. All right. Motion passes.
These are some items that...
Thank you.
And I will pass the gavel. Thank you very much. I'm not sure about that.
Item 61. Sit down.
Item 61.
Yeah. Item 61 is a motion to move forward with testing the lock gate environment as well as to report back within 2 weeks. Staff is in the process of preparing a board box to go over the first phase of testing the first 4 weeks.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Chair, could we get everybody quiet down as their business is done, or Mr. Chair, as their business is done? And
yes.
That's a big payroll, man. Those guys.
Okay, so, and we are continuing with the test per the motion that was stated. We're basically expanding to the peak period. We actually did Normandy Station yesterday in the peak, and staff is perfectly fine with this motion.
Public comment, Arnold Sachs. And then John Walsh.
I never touched it. So.
I have a number of speakers here. Is this from the last? It says Weezar, Fasana, and Yaroslavsky. From the last one?
I think it's from the last one. Clear it.
I'll clear it up. There I did. Yes, Mr. Sachs.
Yes, thank you. As you might have heard, when the person got up and talked about the problems with your 30-day bus pass, there's problems again with this. You already mentioned that they don't have all the transit partners on board. You still have paper passes that are still being used. So what is the contingency plan that could go into effect before you get into this fiasco that would allow people with paper passes or transfers to get through the locked gates? Will there be a system in place? Will there be some kind of message up that if you have a paper pass, you need to do this? We have to come back in January for the 30-day bus pass. That means October, December, both months with 31 days, will fall victim to this 30-day bus pass. What are the contingencies for the paper pass users or a paper pass transfers so that people will know what to do? Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Walsh.
John Walsh, 1.2 million successful server requests a year at Walsh Confidential. It's the mayor's favorite website. First of all, $46 million. The gates sit unlocked. You don't own the gates. You don't own the fare machines. You're leasing them. And the study, to save $8 million, you claim on people sneaking on the subway. But when the study, I have heard what the pilot project will say. Everybody knows it. It won't work if you lock the gates unless you have station attendants at every station for 21 hours. That will cost well over $8 million. In other words, we're spending, for every dollar we save in fare evasion, we are spending $2 on gates. And I'd just like to finish by saying that I'm glad you're back, Mr. Mayor, but 1.5 hours in the restroom? What were you doing there? No honor, no respect to politicians.
Yeah. Any other comments?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Ms. Du Bois.
The motion is before you, and the thrust of the motion is to continue the testing so that we can get information back that tells us, number one, what the cost is on the fare evasion, if you will. And when I went out and saw, and I'll share with you a little bit what was happening at the gates, I spoke to one of the members of our Sheriff's Patrol, and he expressed to me that 1 week they closed the gates, right, with the test, and the next week people were already acclimated. So I guess the thing I'm saying is it's not going to be a huge culture shock to most of the folks that ride the system should we close them. But we won't really know until we do some more testing. So that's the reason that the motion is before you, to expand them to at least six more stations.
Mr. Katz?
Mr. Boyce, I wish you were right about the awareness and how long and how often it takes to, you know, for folks to get messages. I think there'll be a long transition period, and I think, you know, we're going to need people there for a long time. I'm not going to go back over the issues we covered before. I am pleased that we're going to get the data now in a couple weeks. It's unfortunate it took a board motion to get it, but I guess we will get the data. This was never going to pencil. It's never been about penciling out. It was never going to make it. And, you know, it sounds impressive to say we're going to quadruple what we collect in fare evasion, but when you're charging a buck and a quarter, quadrupling it doesn't come close to the $8 to $10 million a year to operate it. But having said that, you know, I'll support this going forward just to get the data and to get the report. I've still got the same concerns. I do appreciate the fact that at least so far, we're agreeing not to lock these permanently until we have a Metrolink solution, which we're working on with between both boards. Metrolink's got, I believe it's about 7,000 people that also use our system as well. So we don't want to disenfranchise those riders. So thank you.
Bless
you.
Please.
Mr. Katz, please.
Mr. Yaroslavsky.
Yeah. I don't think we know yet what the results of the study are going to show and how it pencils and over what period of time and what constitutes a good result or an unsatisfactory result. And I think that's one of the reasons the pilot was started in the first place. It's one of the reasons it's being expanded now. Frankly, this should have been done without a board motion. This should have been done several years ago when this whole idea first came up, but better late than never. I just want to say one thing about the Metrolink. There's a considerable body of opinion around this building that the real resistance to this is the Metrolink piece. That's a tail that's wagging the dog. At the end of the day, this pencils to be if there's a compelling case made for locking the gates, then maybe if there's a $15 million net increase to our revenue or a $20 million increase to our net revenue, maybe Metrolink would like to put up the $15 million. We'll keep the lake every year, and we'll keep the gates open.
If you get $15 million out of this in a year, I'll join you on the motion.
Okay. Well, don't make any offers. You may have to. I heard you loud and clear, but I hope that Metrolink and Metro can work out this kink or whatever the kink is, and that's not the thing that's holding this whole thing up, other than the statistics themselves. But I think there's a good program. I went out there. Several of us were out there a couple of weeks ago. It was quite impressive. The volume of people who were caught without having paid their fare was quite high. They all knew it. I don't think this is going to be a major cultural thing. People who don't pay their fare know they're not paying their fare. This is not some syndrome where they forget about it. They know exactly what they're doing, and when they're caught, there's a twinkle in their eye and a smile on their face, and they go back and they pay for it. So, and by the way, most of the people who were caught in this pilot program actually supported the effort of having one uniform policy where everybody has to pay. I think so, a lot of people don't pay because they think other people don't pay. It's human nature. So I just want to commend the staff, Mr. Leahy. Your staff has been out there. This is not an easy job to do, and I think we're all looking forward to the results of this and the expanded study. I'll move it. Mr. Chairman, I move it.
Yes, you moved. The item's been moved by Mr. Yaroslavsky, seconded by Mr. Boies. Without objection, such will be the order. Item number eight. I'm conflicted. Would you like to? Item 8 is what? Failed on consent because of conflicts, and so item 8 is before us. It's a Sonnenwall feasibility and construction study.
Move it.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Can I actually chair this while it's... Well, I have a conflict.
Not if you're conflicted.
Not if I'm conflicted.
If you're conflicted, you cannot.
No, I know I can't vote for it. Thank you very much.
You can't participate.
So you have to do it.
Yeah.
That's why I was staying out for a half hour. That's why I went to the bathroom.
We have a motion and a second. Any objections? Item's passed. It's ordered. Thank you. Back to you.
Item number 20, Crenshaw LAX Transit Project.
Is there a motion?
I think Mr. Director Kanabe.
Well, I'm supporting, obviously, the item. The only concern, you know, we have... You know what? I'm going to wait to the end. I want to deal with another motion. I'm going to send to committee. But this particular issue where we're putting in these additional dollars, there's obviously some other opportunities for these capital project repayment. And I was glad to see the miracle in the last 24 hours as it relates to the capital projects repayment and the ability of Measure R to repay those dollars. But this kind of a thing also is a great opportunity for that as well.
I'll move it. Item number 20.
Second.
Did you make a motion?
No, he did.
The motion is by Mr.
I thought you meant an amendment or something.
Mark Willie Thomas, and seconded by
second.
Mr. Katz. Any objection? Comment? There is comment. Malcolm Klugman, and then John Walsh, and then Arnold Sachs.
Hello. Surprise.
I want to talk about the community aspect of this. The people, the people in Beverly Hills said they couldn't have a dedicated lane there, that their community didn't want it, and the people in the condo gulch didn't want it, so we acceded to them. But Crenshaw Project, nah, we don't care what they think, we'll just go ahead and put it at grade anyhow. You know, I want to see that Leimert Park Village stop built. And sometimes I'm not even sure that the community understands that if you have it at grade level, people will see the Leimert Park Village
and then it'll grow, and it'll become the jewel of this part of the city, one of the jewels that it should be. But you see the community each time.
You, Mr. Walsh, and Mr. Sachs. Walsh?
This connects the green line that still doesn't go to the airport to the Expo line that's still never going to reach the beach. It will have terrible ridership. But I hope you saw the LA Times. Damien Goodman filed an environmental suit
against you yesterday. And we expect that he will prevail. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you, Ms. Walsh. Mr. Sachs?
Yes, thank you again, Arnold Sachs. This item on your agenda does not include any information regarding the nonprofit that the board is authorized to be formed to oversee the construction of this project. That's not the construction authority like Green Line needed. Well, wait, to go north from Aviation Station to Century. Crenshaw doesn't need it to go south from Century to Aviation. It's a wonderful world of politics when you get into the sleaze that's involved. So we've got a project, and by the way, the transit-oriented development that's going to occur, like I mentioned, doesn't include the reconfiguration for this Crenshaw line getting to Aviation, but it does include reconfiguration of parking for the transit-oriented development because, like I said, Metro will be doing the reconfiguration for the station while the county is doing the reconfiguration for the land for the development.
Thank you very much. Any more comment? Hearing none. Moved by Mr. Riley Thomas, seconded by Mr. Katz. Without objection, such will be the order. Item 38.
Item 38 is a proposal to rename light rail rail stations as well as transit centers. And there are
Mr. Chair, move the item.
Is this before us in the as we amended in committee?
Yes.
Yes.
It's been amended in executive management committee to make sure that that these changes would be made only when opening new lines or making station improvements in order to reduce costs.
Thank you.
Recommend.
Move it.
Recommend approval.
Moved and seconded. There is a speaker, Arnold Sachs.
Arnold Sachs, I certainly am in awe of your fiscal responsibility to look out for spending Metro dollars not to change the stations unless a new line is opened or some sort of rigor. Maybe when you open the gate or lock the gates, that would be considered a change of the station status. That would mean that the station will be get a name change. Or otherwise, you could do like you did with the letter you sent me, Mr. Leahy, regarding modifying the name. You know, here you don't need to take state legislation to change the name like would have been required for the, not the naming of the construction, well, actually the construction authority, but also changing the sunset date of that construction authority would have required state legislation. And by the way, I just found a piece of literature that stated that they have passed legislation, but they still haven't included the L.A. to Pasadena Blue Line.
You're the ones that own the property.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sachs. I believe that Director Antonovich has a motion.
This is... For the next month's agenda, to enhance our customers' experience when using our bus and rail system, we ought to seek ways to improve how we can communicate vital customer-friendly information to the passengers, making transit appealing and comfortable. And when you consider what we are the World Entertainment Center, it also makes sense for us to partner with our local theme parks. So we're going to ask a development with the Six Flags, Magic Mountain, Universal, Knott's Berry Farm, Disneyland and Entertainment Industry, Warner Brothers, to review and make recommendations on how we could better enhance our customer service, make it more user-friendly. So that's for next month's agenda.
Mr. Rita Thomas.
Let me just simply move item 38, Mr. Chair.
Second.
Item 38. We had already done that.
It's passed.
That was subject to a two-thirds requirement, and we didn't have two-thirds at the time the consent calendar was voted. Right.
We got two-thirds.
We got two. It was without objection. We didn't have an objection
I'm
to
sorry.
It.
Okay.
Without objection is two-thirds.
Okay.
Why does it take two-thirds?
Because it's a name change, and
we
developed a policy to require a two-thirds because people were changing names all the time. If you remember, there was that whole issue. And the last time I looked, without objection,
that's
is a two-thirds vote.
That's
correct. So,
Chairman, before you just leave that, can I just ask one question? Was that 38 approved as it was amended in the committee?
Yes. That was a question that was
– I didn't hear it. Thank you.
Mr. Katz asked the question. There's a motion by Mr. Antonovich that he read. Can we refer this to the Operations Committee?
Right.
Okay, so it'll be referred to the Operations Committee to come back to the full board. And that, before we adjourn, I apologize. You have an emotion, it's not before me. Okay, so we have a number of people who want to speak. Petra Rivera and Leticia Andrade. Petra Rivera, Leticia Andrade. Buenos días.
Good morning, board directors. I have... letters directed for everyone in the board members. If the board secretary could please hand these out. Thank you.
Buenos días a todos.
Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Mi nombre es Petra Rivera.
My name is Petra Rivera.
Yo he vivido en Boyle Heights por 35 años.
I've lived in Boyle Heights for 35 years.
Estoy en desacuerdo con la decisión que se ha tomado con JSM.
I'm against the decision that was made on the issue of JSM.
Que no se ha incluido a la comunidad de Boyle Heights.
Because they have not included the community of Boyle Heights.
El problema es que necesitamos una vivienda económica de muy bajo y extremadamente bajos recursos.
The problem is that we need affordable housing for very low income and extremely low income people.
Trabajos justos para los residentes de Boyle Heights.
And living wage jobs for the people of Boyle Heights.
Gracias por su tiempo y estoy de acuerdo con la decisión de hacer un contrato exclusivo con JSM que quiere tener un desarrollo que no va a beneficiar a la comunidad.
Thank you for your time. We don't agree with the decision that was made earlier in the consent calendar on the issue of JSM and their contract, and because it does not benefit the community. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Dear Mayor, please listen to us. Please don't ignore us. Thank you.
Leticia Andrade. And then Blanca Espinosa.
Buenos días, mi nombre es Leticia Andrade, residente de Boyle Heights.
Good morning, my name is Leticia Andrade. I'm a resident of Boyle Heights.
Sí, y me opongo completamente a la negociación que se hicieron con GSM.
I'm completely against the negotiation that was done with JSM.
Porque como siempre no se ha tomado en cuenta la participación pública de la comunidad.
And like always, the public comment was not taken into consideration.
Y exijo una involucración inmediata de la comunidad sobre este proceso con transparencia y justicia.
And I demand a process that involves a community with transparency of the decisions that are being made.
Inmediatamente porque el tiempo está corriendo y como siempre no han puesto las necesidades de la comunidad.
And I demand that this be done immediately because
puesto las necesidades de la comunidad.
Because the community's needs have not been put forward.
Entre otras es que queremos conservar la cultura de Bowen Heights y la vista panorámica.
One of the things that need to be preserved is the culture of Bowen Heights and the panoramic view.
Entonces les agradecemos que haya un involucramiento inmediato de la comunidad sobre las opiniones públicas. Gracias.
And we would greatly appreciate a process that involves the community. Thank you.
Blanca Espinosa.
Buenos días, señores de la mesa directiva.
Good morning, Metro Board Directors.
Mi nombre es Blanca Espinosa.
My name is Blanca Espinosa.
Soy residente de Bowen Heights durante 13 años y pertenezco a la organización comunitaria ILAC.
I'm a Bowen Heights resident for 13 years and I'm also a member of the East LA Community Corporation.
No estoy de acuerdo con que hayan cambiado la agenda y tampoco con que no hayan involucrado a la comunidad.
I'm against the decision that was made earlier that did not involve the community and
para tomar las decisiones antes de dar la aprobación.
To make decisions without getting approval from the community.
Estamos pidiendo que nuestra comunidad haya viviendas de bajos recursos, extremos recursos y vivienda justa para nuestra comunidad.
Our community is asking that there be affordable housing for very low income and extremely low income people.
Esto es porque cuando se ha hecho la construcción del metro se ha desalojado a muchas personas que han vivido en nuestra comunidad y no han tenido vivienda de regreso.
And this is needed because during the construction of the Metro Gold Line there was a lot of displacement of housing. So
pidiendo que ustedes escuchen a la comunidad, que nos apoyen porque nosotros los hemos apoyado ustedes también para llegar a donde ustedes están y es.
So now we are asking that the Metro Board supports us because we have elected you all and gotten to where you are now.
Y entonces pidiendo que nos tomen en consideración y que apoyen lo que nosotros les estamos pidiendo también.
So we're asking that you take us into consideration and
gracias. Todo.
That's all. Thank you.
Joaquín Marín o Morín. Joaquín Morín, and then Carmen Fuentes.
Buenos días, mi nombre.
Good morning.
Joaquín Marín.
My name is Joaquín Marín. And I'm a member of the East LA Community Corporation of Bowen Heights.
Residente de Bowen Heights por 13 años.
I've been a community member and resident of Bowen Heights for 13 years.
Estoy de acuerdo que hayan cambiado la agenda en la mañana, que no hayan tomado en cuenta el comentario público.
I'm against the decision that was made in this morning, the consent calendar, because it did not take in consideration the community.
Sobre el desarrollo que va a haber en la César Chávez y la Soto.
And concerning the development that's going to be on Cesar Chavez and Soto.
Compañía de ESM.
With the development company JSM.
Puesto que desde el 2005 saben que va a haber este desarrollo y no se ha incluido a la comunidad para los comentarios públicos, siempre nos tratan de dejar fuera.
Since 2005, you all have known that JSM has been the developer and there hasn't been community involvement.
Y exigimos que esta compañía inmediatamente incluya comentarios públicos y nos incluya a nosotros, los residentes de la comunidad.
And we demand that JSM Capital includes the community into the development.
Y ustedes como representantes y son miembros también de nuestras comunidades que han crecido en ellas, tomen en cuenta.
And you all as representatives and also community members, we ask that you take us into consideration.
Comunidad, ya que siempre somos los más afectados y nunca nos toman en cuenta.
When we are the most affected, we are not taken into consideration.
Que con la construcción que hubo del metro, como ya dijeron, se han perdido demasiadas viviendas, la ampliación de la estación de policía en Boyle Heights.
As already mentioned, with the construction of the Gold Line, there is a lot of displacement, so we are in need of replacement.
Entonces esperamos que por favor construyan viviendas extremadamente.
Gracias.
Carmen, so we ask that you please construct affordable housing for extremely low-income people.
Carmen Fuentes and Manuela Barraza.
Buenos días.
Good morning.
Mi nombre es Carmen Fuentes.
Soy My name is Carmen Fuentes.
Residente de Boyle Heights por 38 años.
I'm a member of East LA Community Corporation and a resident of Boyle Heights for 38 years.
Estoy aquí porque estoy opuesta a que ustedes aprueben el proyecto de Jackson en la calle César Chávez y Soto. También estoy opuesta.
I'm here to oppose the approval that was made of the JSN project on César Chávez and Soto.
También estoy opuesta a que votaron para aprobarlo sin escuchar comentarios públicos.
I'm also against the decision that was made without including public comment.
El inversionista del proyecto no ha tomado en cuenta a la comunidad de Boyle Heights.
The developer has not taken into consideration the community of Boyle Heights.
A pesar de haber tenido varios años para hacer este...
Despite having had many years to have done this.
Que no ignoren a la comunidad de Boyle Heights.
I'm asking you that you don't ignore the community of Boyle Heights.
Cuando aprueben a desarrollos en los sitios del metro...
When you make decisions of the metro sites,
la comunidad debe estar involucrada en decir o saber lo que se construye y en dónde se construye.
The community should be involved in the decisions that are made and what is being built.
Muchas gracias por su tiempo.
Thank you for your time.
Gracias a ti, señora. Manuela Barraza, and then David Robinson. Buenas tardes.
Soy Manuel.
Good afternoon. My name is Manuela Barraza.
Pertenezco a la congregación de ILAC.
I'm a member of the East LA Community Corporation, ILAC.
Tenemos la necesidad de que nos pongan un poco de atención a todos.
We are in need of more attention.
Porque vemos nosotros lo que hace falta en esta, en esa áreas.
Because we see a need in what is missing in these, in our neighborhood.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much.
Gracias. David Robinson. David Robinson. John Walsh. Mr. Walsh.
Let's point out that JSN's partner is Nick Petsouris working under Paulus Builders. Okay? Let's point that out. Mr. Mayor, I know you had a meeting yesterday with Mike Downing. He's the deputy police chief about taking us out of Occupy LA. I know that you discussed a scenario that concerns tear gas and rubber bullets, like that wonderful mayor, that Asian woman mayor that we have in East Oakland, who almost. We know that the White House is putting pressure on all the mayors to get rid of all the Occupy squatters all over America, because he believes this will, if he doesn't, he'll end up like what happened to Hubert Humphrey. We know this is happening. We know you're behind it. Now, you can say it is all a lie and you haven't met. I'm asking you now, let's have a satellite. Occupy LA here. Let's put 100 here, 100 there. Let 1,000 tents bloom. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you very much, Mr. Walsh.
Did I lie?
Martinez, thank you, Mr. Walsh.
If I made a slightest mistake,
all right. All right. There we go.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Esperanza Martinez, and I'm one of the lead organizers of the Bus Riders Union. We urge the board to repeal the decision to use JSM as one of the contractors. As you all have heard, this is a company that is not responsive to the community in Boyle Heights. we urge the board to also create, to urge the board to direct staff to create social justice guidelines that take communities into account. Mayor Villaraigosa, you said that transit-oriented development will help make communities smarter so that they grow better. Any type of development or growth should not result in the economic or cultural deterioration of a community or the displacement of those people. We're seeing this. We've seen it in Highland Park. I was born and raised in Cypress Park. We're seeing it there now. Like, where are we supposed to go? So you all have an important role to play. So we hope that you do urge these developers to take communities into account. Thank you.
Esperanza, Sun Young Yang. Sun Young Yang. Then Kurt Washuta.
So, good morning, board. Sun Young Yang, lead organizer with the Bus Riders Union. I'm here today to announce the launching of our new transit civil rights report. I'm going to give you a copy of it. But it is basically, this report was co-authored by 14 other community organizations, including two Bay Area groups, and it is basically an indictment of the MTA and its impact, both its fare increase policies as well as its service cuts policies over the last 4 years. The real it outlines the real impacts that it has on some of the poorest communities in LA that's facing the economic crisis. We urge this board to look at this report. We're also going to actually send that in as a supplement to our Federal Transit Administration service cuts complaint. And we hope that this board can look at it and, you know, exercise real leadership to reverse the course of the last, 4 years of civil rights violations. Thank you.
Kurt Washuta and then Dan Keller.
It's Kurt Washuta. I've been a resident of San Gabriel Valley now for 4 years. I've been riding Metro for 12. This new 30-day rolling pass is mindless and is without forethought. Okay. Now, next Monday, I've already loaded my November pass. Next Monday, that day is going to come off my November pass. Okay. The 30th of November is going to come off my December pass and so forth. Okay. For each 12 progressive months of riding, continuous riding, you're going to short every patron 5 calendar days. In 3 years, that's going to become a half a month in the hole that we're not going to be able to ride. We're going to be doing day passes or who knows what. This makes no sense. This tab, I see routinely see people at the Memorial Park Station Gold Line and the Highland Park Gold Line defraud those machines. You need to go back to the paper. Now, your customer service rep told me the reason you're going to it is because too many of your operators were giving away paper passes. That's not a patron problem. That's an operator. It's a Metro problem.
Dan Keller, and then Blanca Dueñas. Dan Keller, Mr. Keller.
I want to talk about the Orange Line. On the Orange Line, a lot of people cheat. Part of the reason is there is no check. Get off the red line. You can get on the orange line. Nobody checks to see if you tap in. Everybody gets on. The sheriff's department only checks at specific stations. If they really want to know the percentage of the people that are cheating, you have the bus stop in between stops. Go on with the new thing on the phones that they can tell whether a tap card is loaded, and you'll know the percentage of what they're cheating. Same thing on the gold line. Before you start to do this on another valley line on Van Nuys Boulevard, where you're just going to have people go on, we could do the same thing on Wilshire and Venice. Yeah, we'll get more people riding for free. I'm sure the people on Venice and Wilshire, the stuff that leaves from MTA, would like the same advantage the people in the valley have right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Blanca Dueñas. Blanca, ¿cómo estás?
Aquí otra vez. Siempre con nuestra comunidad. Tenemos que luchar por nosotros mismos, porque no hay quien nos eche la mano.
Good morning.
Bueno, sí, mi nombre es Blanca Dueñas y yo soy residente de Boyle Heights.
Good morning, my name is Blanca Dueñas and I'm a resident of Boyle Heights.
Y
Estoy un poco preocupada porque estas personas están entrando a nuestra comunidad y no vemos realmente una transparencia.
I'm very worried because JSM is entering our community and we can't see any transparency.
Queremos que los inversionistas respondan a nuestras necesidades y a nuestras prioridades.
We want the developers to respond to our priorities and our needs.
Los inversionistas tienen que incluir a la comunidad. Ellos llegan y entran a nuestra comunidad como si fuera de ellos.
Developers need to include the community. They come and go in our community as if it was their community.
Siempre hacen lo que ellos quieren.
And they always do what they want.
Basta.
That's enough.
Ahora tienen que llegar y tocar la puerta.
They need to come and they need to knock on the door.
Para entrar.
In order to come in.
Nosotros, la comunidad.
They need to come and make themselves available to the community.
Porque ellos creen que porque somos gente de bajos recursos, somos tontos.
They think that just because we're low income, we're dumb.
No. Somos una comunidad organizada.
No, we're an organized community.
Sabemos que lo que ponen ellos no son a la comunidad, no es para que beneficie a la comunidad.
And we know that what they're proposing isn't going to benefit the community.
Queremos que de hoy en adelante primero pongan a la comunidad.
We want the community to be at the forefront.
Que la comunidad sea su prioridad.
And that the community be their priority.
Y aunque cambiaron la agenda.
And even though the agenda was changed.
Quedamos al último porque nos tenían que escuchar.
We stayed until the very end because we needed
gracias
to be heard.
Gracias por su atención y queremos su ayuda. Gracias.
Thank you for your attention and
gracias,
we need your
señora
help.
Gracias, señora Dueñas.
I also submitted a comment card during the item 10. My name is Lydia Avila.
I have a card for you, ma'am.
At the beginning.
You have a Lydia.
Lydia Avila.
I have no Lydia Avila here.
It was for item 10, which was that agenda item.
Item 10? That was on consent, ma'am. But while we're looking for that, Jose Rodriguez?
Jose is not here.
Walter Bechtel? Can you look and see if there's a one for her, please, on item 10? Walter Bechtel, come on up.
Good morning. This mic, okay. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the same thing people have been talking about with a 30-day bus pass. I think that's a very bad mistake that you've been making. People were deceived into thinking that they were getting the 30-day, and it. Most people that I talked to were selling the bus passes thought, well, it was the same. It's not. You take 30 times 12, and that's 360 days. There's 365 days a year. And that means that you're taking and pocketing 5 days a year for yourself. As I understand, the federal government is paying out to the city and the county for 365 days for senior and disabled people, but you're only returning to them 360 days. If that's not illegal, at least what it is underhanded, and the people are going to learn different ways of not paying for their bus pass, and that includes just going 5, 6, or 7 days of the
Thank
year
you, sir.
Paying the pass. You're
thank
losing
you
money here.
I got you. Lydia, thank you very much for being so patient. We did find it and see it work. The system works. But thank you for being so patient, ma'am.
Good morning. No, it's still good morning. Good morning, members of the Metro Board. My name is Lydia Avila, and I'm the Civic Engagement Coordinator at Inner City Struggle, La Lucha del Pueblo. I'm here on behalf of our 600 members, and we're here today to urge you to stop or reform and get the community involved with the new JDA with JSM Construction. ICS, Inner City Struggle, works with students and parents in the East Side to ensure all students have access to a quality education that prepares them for a higher education. We are aware that JSM Construction has repeatedly engaged in bad business practices. Their president, Craig Jones, has even cheated business partners in Asia. Our youth and families cannot afford to take that risk. We are here today because we know that students cannot achieve their academic potential if they live in a neighborhood that lacks access to safe, affordable housing and quality grocery stores. Community priorities have been defined for the last years, and they haven't showed their face. I encourage you today to bring the community to the table.
Thank you, Ms. Avila. Thank you, and thank you again for being patient. We end with Malcolm Klugman and Arnold Sachs. Klugman?
A bunch of things. First of all, I was the second person to walk in the door this morning. Don't put the thing on the bottom of the pile. Do it in the order the people came in the building today.
I didn't put yours in any
front. Whoever takes them out there, do that right. Second thing, why don't you just...
Because he sits in the first row, not the last row every time. So I think we should get that...
Excitement here. Can I get a few extra seconds?
Yes, you get two more seconds.
Okay, second, why don't you guys just vote who wants to build the tunnel, who doesn't want to build the tunnel, and stop all this procedural crap when you're arguing the policy on the procedure. You know, some of you guys want it, some of you want it. If you don't have seven people, it's not going to get built. So let's do that. This thing that was on the consent calendar. First of all, when you do this thing, do the consent calendar first, and then go in some numerical order, like we get these things so we can actually follow it. And now with my 3 seconds, don't just consider building rapid bus rate like the orange line on these streets. Consider...
Thank you. Gave you 5 seconds. Thank you very much. Mr. Sachs.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. Again, I disagree with you a little bit, Mr. Mayor. The system doesn't work. Because when I first came in this meeting, you had a comment on the chair's report. Then you went to the consent calendar. And I don't believe any items were pulled. Then you voted on a consent calendar, and it was passed unanimously, which means all the items were passed. So now you're calling items out for consent discussion. But you already passed it. So what's the sense? That's the system. We passed the agenda, and now we'll hear your comments. That's no system, sir.
As I understand it, there were a number of people who were conflicted, so it didn't pass, and that's why they had to be brought up.
Conflicted before you pass the whole consent calendar. That being said, I've started to take the silver line, and I've also taken this 450. Both of them cost a dollar with my easy pass.
The silver line has two zones. This one has one. The silver line goes from El Monte bus station to Artesia
okay.
Transit Station.
Thank you.
On two freeways.
Thank you very much. I've given you enough. Thank you.
Downtown,
I got you. Thank you very much. Mr. Kanabi?
Stop reaching into my pocket and stealing my money.
Speak fine.
Yeah, Mr.
Jesus Christ.
Mayor, a couple things. I just wanted, I thought that I had placed a hold on item 47, which I didn't. I was going to support the item. I just wanted, for the record, though, to change in the last 24 hours. In your report, you're indicating the Measure R funds can be used for repayment of using the capital project repayment dollars from the state, that Measure R can reimburse that, so because they were totally flexible funds, right?
Correct, and we will come back in January with a fuller discussion on that issue.
Oh, what discussion? You indicate in the report that I just want on the record that says that we can do that.
Correct. We have a couple of different board instructions that we want to come back and make sure we're clear on. But
because it truly is a board policy.
Sure.
So.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Then the other item, I just a motion that I'd like to.
Mr. Kanabi, before you leave that subject, and make sure that whatever you come back with is applicable not just to this project, but to all the pending projects.
Right. That was the whole purpose of my question, all the projects. So. Then I have a motion I'd like to read in and direct it to the construction committee. And it's in regards to a potential Westchester light rail station, sort of in line with what we did for Lehman Park and others. I would therefore move that the MTA Board of Directors direct CEO, and then there's three specific items, sort of in line with line of budget kind of situation that Mr. Katz brought in as it related to Langmuir Park. One, to include the Westchester and Manchester Aviation Station at grade near Hendry as a potential bid option during a construction procurement, and then identify the options identified as 1A, 1B, and 1C that were adopted by this board per Mr. Katz's motion on May 26th, baseline project plus Lima Park Vernon Underground Station and Westchester Station at grade near Hendry. Two, recommend to the board to approval of a design build contract for options 2A and 2B, again following the May 26th motion. Then item A, option 1A, as described in this motion, if a responsible and responsive bid is received that is less than or equal to the adopted life of project budget. And three, authorize a contract modification in the amount of $250,000 to complete the additional design and engineering work needed for the project to prepare a Westchester Station option for the construction procurement that is within the adopted life of project budget, and just to send this to construction committee.
Without objection, it will be sent to construction committee for debate and discussion. You're welcome. I'd like to adjourn today with respect to the passing of Larry Zarian. Larry, as you all know, was a council member and mayor of the city of Glendale, a member of the MTA board from its inception, a former chair of this board, a member of the California Transportation Commission board, and a great public servant. And those of us who knew him know that he was always a gentleman. He was a statesman in a world that is so partisan and toxic. He was a breath of fresh air, a really, really good man. And I know his family and all of us are going to miss him. He was a dear friend of mine, and I know of everybody here around.
I'll be glad to second that, Mr. Mayor, and just a personal comment. Worked with Larry from the very beginning days and known him for many, many years, I couldn't have said it any better. He was a true public servant and did things for always for the right reason and not the political reason. And, again, was a friend to us all, visionary in his own right, he will be truly missed by us all.
Mr. Najarian?
Mr. Mayor, thank you for that. And I worked very closely with Larry. He seemed to take pride in saying that I took his seat on this board. And I would consult with him very often, and he always had very high remarks for each and every one of you on the board. Kanabi, he was a little bit so-so. No, I'm kidding. He really enjoyed transportation, and he so much enjoyed working with all of you on the board and in your various capacities, and when he was on the CTC and some of the other boards, Metrolink, et cetera. So it is a sad day that he passed so quickly. He was very happy that we were able to honor him last year when we recognized his tenure on the CTC. I think he was, as Director Kanabi said, he was a great man and put politics aside for the good of the community for transportation.
Yes, Mr. Fasano.
As well, I served with Larry really from the beginning of this agency. I appreciated knowing him. I appreciated his counsel. And I appreciate all that he has continued to do and did continue to do after getting off this board on behalf of our state for transportation. He will certainly be missed.
Mr. Director Yaroslavsky.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would just add to everything else that's been said and all of it's appropriate. He was a friend of mine, not just here, but we got to know each other outside this this body. I actually knew him before I was on this body. He had a radio program that yes. He had me on a number of times, and he was a very decent human being, and had a zest for what he did. He always had an enthusiasm for what he did. He chaired this board, and it's not an easy job to do that at least once. He chaired this board, and and he will be sorely missed.
Yes, he will. On that note, yes, on behalf of all of the people.
I knew Larry Zarian when he was on this board. I continued to talk with him often after he left this board. I also consider him a true friend to the public, and it is my intent to follow your lead and adjourn next week's meeting of the Central Public Service Council. Since Glendale was part of that sector, I will also be adjourned next week.
Capacity as chairman, maybe to direct the general manager to find an appropriate thing to facility.
Acknowledge and remember him by yes.
In his name.
I think without objection, we'll ask the CEO to do that. He was a giant of a man who had a long relationship with this agency and with transportation overall. Thank you very much. Adjourned to closed session.